people, and I'm a pop, pop, pop!
Are you sure you can handle this by your lonesome?
Now listen to me.
This is very big. There's definitely something here.
Stop mocking me!
Turn your head.
Oh, that is a vile and odious lie! How dare you fill my head with such loathsome propaganda?
This reminds me of the time you tried to drill a hole through your head. Remember that?
That would have worked if you hadn't stopped.
The fruition of my deeply laid plans to escape from that cursed Ovarian Bastille.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 4 minutes.
There, see what you made me do.
I'm very excited. I'm very pleased.
It's gone too far now.
Crap.
Okay? This is not normal.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What's happened to you before?
Let me tell you why you're here.
All right, I'm in.
Adaptation.
All right, here's the deal.
Improvisation.
And we're looking for what?
It's your weakness.
Just what?
Not your technique.
But before y'all get to being in the office, a couple things I want you to understand.
Again?
Oh, wait. That was on Final Jeopardy last night. Damn, Alex.
Good. Give me your attention for a moment.
Show me.
I see we have a question.
You have to see it for yourself.
What will follow is a series of simple tests. Motor skills, concentration, staffing.
You're good at that, buddy.
You have no idea.
You're only here because you're the best of the best.
Okay.
Charge the diner.
Can you run over your plan with me one more time? Because I'm struggling with it.
Aren't you going to read me my rights?
That's banging, right?
I offered you a snack, not the whole kitchen.
Whoa, hold on there.
I do not want to go to jail. I don't want to get arrested.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 3 minutes.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Don't even worry about that. I got you covered.
Is that right?
Do any girls here want to make out or something?
Man!
That is classic!
Excuse me. Look, this is the real world. This is politics.
You're all under arrest!
Once again, the communication process is broken down.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
You're in or you're out. Right now.
Look, we all go way back, and I owe you from the thing with the guy in the place, and I'll never forget it.
A little professionalism, please!
You're looking to be getting in. It's an extremely private party tonight.
You want to act like a kid, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the great one speaks.
Yo, man, what's with all this hostility, man?
What did you say?
Only take one step at a time. That's why I was given 2 feet.
Okay, Pete, Miss Little, Miss John Doe, I'm not having any fun here. You know how cranky I get when I don't have any fun.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Stay on the trail. You can sleep next month.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 2 minutes.
What's next, fellas? Cow tipping?
I've digitized and synchronized them, so we're ready to go.
Where am I?
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, damen und herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure, crude, yes, primitive, yes, perhaps even grotesque, yet something inexplicable tells me that this might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let's go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered... Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you.
you ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now, here's Guy James.
Good evening, Harry Truman Democrats. This is the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk radio show, broadcasting live from the world headquarters of the TIB Network, your antidote to poisonous right-wing talk pollution. The Truth in Broadcasting Network and the Guy James Show deliver the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Every week, that's what we do. Glad to have you along with us this evening. We're going to have a great show for you tonight. We've got an interesting guest coming up at the bottom of this hour, I believe. Keith Cluey, he's a member of Operation Truth, and he was a public affairs officer in the military, and so he's got some things to tell us about how he sees things overseas right now. And, of course, we'll talk a lot about Mr. Rove's episode this week and Ms. Miller, who also testified in front of the grand jury once again. What do you think is going to happen? There's so much speculation, I can barely stand it. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a political event like this one. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. Fitzgerald could come out tomorrow and say, that's it, I'm done, there's no indictments, there's nothing, and walk away from this whole thing. He doesn't even have to submit a report. He doesn't have to. Or he could indict half the White House. And I think it's just that unclear as to what is going to happen. I really do. I don't think anybody knows. Isn't this different from when Mr. Ken Starr, the Honorable, I say that with scorn, the Honorable Ken Starr, who leaked every bit of information he possibly could each week in the Clinton affair. They might as well have had press conferences out the back door of his office every day. They leaked that much. And then we have Fitzgerald, who you can't get a word from. He must have threatened his people real good, because they don't leak a thing. So I'm in the dark as much as you are. I've speculated a lot as to what I think is going to happen, but I don't know. I really don't. I wouldn't put a bunch of money on it one way or another what's going to happen. I know what I'd like to happen. I'd like to see some of this gang in the White House have to leave. I think America would be so much better off if that happened, if Mr. Rove and Mr. Cheney and Mr. Libby and a few of those had to get out of the White House. I think America would be all the better for it, no question about it. And I don't have to ask this question, but I will anyway, rhetorically. How many of you saw that amazing performance by Mr. Bush? What was it? Was it Thursday? Just when you think Bush Jr. has embarrassed himself and the citizens of this country as much as he possibly can, he comes along and tops his previous best. And he's done that to me several times. He always gets a little worse or better, no matter how, depending on how you look at it. His scripted question and answer session with a dozen or so troops this past week was just another of a long line of absurdities. But this one, this one is the pinnacle, the top, the craziest one of them all. You know, as you know by now, you all know they didn't mean for the video of their, quote, rehearsals to reach the public, but they did. And, oh, my God. You suppose that person still has a job, whoever allowed that? I doubt it. I'd like for anyone from the right listening right now, and I know you're there. I get your emails every week. I always say that. But few of you have the courage to call in and defend your boy. But I'd like for anybody from the right listening right now to give us a call and let us know if that whole scripted, pitiful performance made you proud of Mr. Bush this past week. He was trying to bolster his image, look like the manly man, and instead he came off looking like the trained monkey that he is. This pathetic little man, and I don't mean in physical stature, but he's a pathetic little man, watching his war unfold from halfway around the world on TV, safe and sound in the White House, with a bunch of soldiers in front of him whom he knew couldn't say anything negative whatsoever. They'd been hand-selected, and those poor soldiers. Who gave them the questions on the other end of the camera? Who picked them, and why did they go along with this ridiculous charade is what I'd like to know. How did they find guys? I think there were 10 Americans and one Iraqi. And the Iraqi said, "I like you." Yeah, that's what he said. How'd they get people to go along with that? Why would you sit there and answer a scripted question with a scripted answer right on cue? Why would you do that? Why would you participate in an obvious attempt to lie to the public? Now, who among that group of soldiers wouldn't have known that this whole thing was a setup to make Bush look like a caring, informed, intelligent leader? How could anybody allow themselves to be made to look so foolish? And Bush himself, has he thrown in the towel, do you suppose? Has he finally figured out there's no way his legacy is going to be even the equal of even Warren G. Harding? Is he resigned to the fact that it's going to go down as the worst president in history? I think he might be. You know, with an administration as corrupt or even more so than fellow Republican Dick Nixon, I got to tell you, right now, Tricky Dick seemed like Honest Abe compared to Junior Bush. And the slime that's now pouring out of this White House is just amazing. It seems that every single day brings some kind of a new disclosure of some kind, linking Bush and his cronies to some sort of sordid mess, some profoundly unethical behavior, or even illegal, we're going to find out. But this performance with the soldiers was just more than I could take. At first, I thought the video of the whole thing was a hoax. When I turned on the internet the other day, I didn't see it live, and I saw that video, and I thought, well, I'm going to watch this, and I thought, somebody's having some fun here. Somebody's made a tape of this and had some fun. You know, certainly no president of the United States of America, the most powerful man in the world, in the most prestigious job in the world, would have to have his words scripted when he talks to a bunch of soldiers, would he? Would he? Would any president have to have a scripted speech in front of a bunch of soldiers, the commander-in-chief, and their answers scripted right back at him? You know, his handler's afraid that he doesn't even have the intellectual capacity to ask some soldiers some question about how it's going in Iraq without looking like a buffoon. They couldn't trust him enough to let him speak from his heart with these guys over there risking their lives on a daily basis. They couldn't trust him that much. He doesn't even possess the wherewithal to carry on a conversation with some soldiers. He doesn't even have the confidence to be able to carry on a decent conversation with the men who are risking their lives for him. My God, how humiliating. How painful it must have been for those soldiers to sit there and know that they were talking to an empty suit. A guy who had to have someone else write down some questions for him so he could read them to the soldiers. Have you ever seen anything so utterly preposterous? And then you realize that approximately 39% of the American people still approve of this guy. It makes me want to cry. Hell, I've seen trained monkeys give more credible performances than that debacle on Thursday. He actually said, "We will not stop the war as long as I'm in office." Man, he's just like looking forward to every day of that war, isn't he? And just this morning, I heard an acquaintance of mine repeat that often used phrase, "Well, he's just a regular guy, and don't you hate this one?" You've all heard it. He's just a regular guy. A guy I'd like to have a beer with. Do you know how absurd that statement is now? Bush have a beer with you? If you don't belong to his social set, he wouldn't allow you to get near him, let alone have a beer with him. Who are you kidding? And besides, he's an admitted alcoholic, so the beer's out. At least that's what he claims, you know, that he stopped drinking. At times I'm not so sure. I guess a lot of people aren't so sure right now. I just couldn't help it when I saw that video this week. It made me, at first, laugh so hard that I was sick until I realized this guy is the so-called leader of our country and leader of the free world. That's not so funny. That's not funny at all. And neither was that sad performance when it comes right down to it. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed as an American to say, my God, there's the President of the United States and people from around the world seeing that on the news at their in their homes in other countries. Of course, the right-wingers will all say, who cares what anybody else thinks? I do. I absolutely care what people around the world think of our Commander-in-Chief. I want him to think that he's a honorable and intelligent man, a man that will always do the right thing for America and for the rest of the people in the world. But I can't say that right now. I can't say that on any of those counts. I don't think he's that intelligent. I don't think he's doing the honorable thing for America, and I certainly don't think he's doing anything to help the rest of the countries in the world. I don't know. I'm really disappointed in him. Really disappointed. But I don't have to tell you that. You know that. 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Hope you'll give us a call this evening. We'd love to hear from you. This is a talk show, after all. And I guess that's all the lines. I don't give out the local numbers anymore. We're glad to have you along with us. Johnny's nodding over there. Johnny, did you have a good week?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually, because I have a day job, I actually was working, honestly, all kinds of crazy hours. I missed that. But Lila was telling me all about it earlier.
Yeah, it was, you know, we thought about this for a while. We wanted to get some of that organ grinder music and play it, and that's what it would have looked like. That picture from over behind him looking at that screen with the soldiers facing the camera, it really was pathetic. Here stood the President of the United States, who was trying to make some political hay off of this, and it just made him look so bad, so bad. My word, so bad. Let's go to the phone. We're going to talk to Paul in Cape Coral. Hello, Paul.
Hey, hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
I have one question.
Yeah.
I've heard your show, you know, from time to time, living in the area. And this is the first time I actually caught it from the beginning. And I said it's a paid commercial advertisement. Is that true?
That's because we buy our time here on the network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's kind of interesting. One of the few left-wing shows that have to be paid commercial advertisement.
Well, you tell me any left-wing show that's on in Southwest Florida that doesn't have to pay. And let me tell you why that is. It's because the right wing has control of the airwaves in Southwest Florida and all over the country, for that matter. That's the state of affairs here in Florida. If
I don't know, I mean, the other shows that are on the air are who
here in Fort Myers?
Well, you know, I mean, this station that's on now.
Uh-huh.
There's two stations, I guess, that come
uh-huh.
in clear in this area, and pretty
yeah.
much are nationally, you know, shows, national shows.
And they are of the right wing. Ilk, right?
Well, you know, they have, I guess, conservative, more on the conservative side, the hosts and so on.
Well, let's face it, there's hardcore right-wing as you can get.
Well, but the point is, none of them preface the show with this show is a paid commercial advertisement.
No, they don't have to, because they don't have to buy the time, because they're in a heavily Republican area here.
Well, when somebody's paying for the advertisements and there's sponsors for the shows and so on, aren't they?
They have national advertisers on those shows.
Right, but I mean, so what does that say?
Yeah, Johnny, you got a comment?
The shows that you're talking about are actually distributed by a syndicator. The radio station bought those shows, hence they're not paid advertisements. Our show, we actually privately purchase the time the same as anybody would a 60-second commercial. We buy our own time.
Yeah, so that explains it rather succinctly, I think. Yeah, they don't have to buy their time the way we do. I mean, it's done differently, but that's the way this radio station chooses to say it, and so, you know, we have to go for that.
So it's not the station, though, is it? I mean, do you think the station leans in any particular direction?
Come on, Paul.
I mean, the station itself
doesn't
lean in any particular direction.
Hey, Paul, come on. How many left-wing shows are on around here?
Well, none, but, you know...
None, and why is that, Paul?
But, I have one other thing. I listen to XM radio, and I do like to listen to the both sides.
Yeah,
you know, I like to listen to
the
left.
But you don't get both sides here in this town. All you get is our show and about 400 hours of the others.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But that's something we have to live with. Thanks for your call,
you know,
Paul.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is in America, really. There are a few places you can go that that it isn't that way, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You know, a lot of people don't understand fully that this show is supported by the Democrats. It's supported by the people out in the the real Democrats out in real life, not the higher ups. Nobody helps whatsoever unless they donate to the show, and it's one of those things that we don't necessarily like to talk about because we don't beg for money. But a lot of he's a perfect example of what people think. They seem to think that the show is being paid for by some magical little cloud that's raining money, but it's not.
Yeah, and it's not paid for by the DNC. It's not paid for by the Florida Democratic Party or anything like that. It's paid by the listeners that pay for the program. So we're grateful for that. We're glad. We're glad to have an opportunity to spread our message around, and we'll keep doing it as long as the audience keeps supporting the program, and we're grateful to have you do that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. If you'd like to call in this evening, and I noticed Paul didn't, but that wasn't what his call was all about. If you're real proud of that little debacle that took place on Thursday morning with the president, if you think he handled that well, and if you think it was a good thing to have him do that, give us a call. I'd like to hear your opinion. I'll actually I'll take your call at the head of the line if you're from the right and you want to defend Mr. Bush and how well that whole thing was handled. And you can do it online. John's always telling me, Guy James.
Guy James Show on AOL.
On AOL, okay.
Guy James Show.
Someday I'm going to get that straight. My techie ability here, a lot of people home watching college football today. Like I suggested, you turn it on, turn the sound down. You can listen to our program, get educated, and watch your football too. If I didn't have a show to do, I'd probably be watching a little college football. My beloved Ohio State Buckeyes won their game today, Yahoo, and it was a close one. So always, we've got a lot to talk about today, and I do hope that you'll call and get your 2 cents worth in, especially about the Karl Rove matter. I heard some preposterous claims this week on other programs. I know some of you listening watched the Sean Hannity show. It's actually called Hannity and Combs. I don't know why. It should be called Hannity and Whipping Boy. That's what it should be called, because that's all Alan Combs is. I don't know why he puts up with that. He puts up with it for money. That's why he does. But he had Laura Ingraham on, another flaming right-winger. And Laura was complaining about the treatment that Karl Rove has gotten from Fitzgerald, because she says this isn't right, bringing this whole thing up about outing Valerie Plame. And I can't believe that a national show host would say this, but she said that Valerie Plame was not outed by Novak or Rove or Libby or Cheney or anything else, because she was outed when her picture was put on the front page of Vanity Fair with her sunglasses and scarf, along with a picture of Ambassador Wilson. Laura, that took place in November after Novak and crew and his helpers from the White House, whoever they were, outed her in July. So it was, July, that's what, 4 months later? 4 months later, and Laura Ingraham is saying, oh no, Vanity Fair, when her picture was on, was on Vanity Fair, that's when she was outed. And Hannity sat there and agreed with her. And I'm sure there's, all sorts of right-wingers sitting there today going, yeah, that's right, Laura, that's, trying to advance that argument. But truly, you can tell by some of the email I get that a lot of these folks are so misinformed, and that's the bigger problem I have with it, is the disinformation that goes out over the air on these right-wing programs. I have no objection to there being lots of right-wing programs. Fine, go for it. Have your fun and do what you need to do, but geez, tell the truth. At least tell the truth and don't misinform people the way you do, and you do it intentionally, and every day there's 20 or 30 million people walking around this country spouting what they just heard on these right-wing programs, with, in most cases, with no truth to it whatsoever. And we're going to give you some examples of that a little later on in the program, like we usually do. And then, you know, when that happens, I start getting the email. And I wish you could see them. And I'm not going to answer any more of them like that, because it just ends up taking my time. And I'm trying to think what that old saying was. Be careful who you argue with. Someone won't know who's the fool in the argument or whatever. If you argue with a fool, be careful, because someone will end up wondering who's the fool. I know I butchered that, but you get the gist of it. But, you know, we get them all the time accusing you of being a liar and being uneducated and you don't know, you know, all this sort of thing. And usually in these, the grammar and the spelling and the logic is usually that of someone about four. And they write and they tell you you're a liar, and of course they never put an example of it in, and which they can't, and I'm always confident about that. But it's interesting. It's really interesting to get that sort of email every week, and I get lots of it. And that really confounds me, because when I stop and think about all the right-wing programs that are on in this area, both in this station and another sister station and a station in Naples, there's about 400 hours of right-wing programming a week. 400 hours. Now, doesn't that satisfy you? My friends from the right, isn't that enough for you? You have to complain about our 3 hours a week? Don't you think that makes you seem just a little funny? Don't you think your argument just goes up in a puff of smoke when you try and advance that argument? You complain, and then, you know, they want to let us know that they're going to get us off the air, and it's constantly threaten us one way or another. Threaten to call our sponsors. Now, that's a good one. I always like that one. They're going to call our sponsors, and which we don't have sponsors, and that's probably the main reason we don't, because we're beholden to no one except our audience. And if we weren't truthful with our audience, we wouldn't have them, and they wouldn't support the show, and we wouldn't be on the air. So that's really how it goes around here. You tell the truth, you have a good enough audience, and they'll support the program. And, well, that's just basically how it works. I think we're going to pause for a break right now at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be back, so don't go anywhere. We'll kick it up a notch when we come back.
This is the Guy James Show. Democrats of the world, if you missed last week's show, hang on. You're in for the ride of a lifetime. Here's the best of the Guy James Show.
You know, I ran across a interesting chart this week, a very interesting survey. The Fox Network, for example, is doing their level best to try and downplay these terrible poll reports that are coming out for our lame duck president, the lamest of lame duck presidents we've ever had in my lifetime. Here he's got, over 3 years to go, and he's done. He's cooked. He's finished. The right-wingers and the Fox News and all will tell you that his poll numbers are going down amongst Democrats. Well, au contraire. Not quite the way it is. Of course, his poll numbers could not go any lower with Democrats, but they could go lower with independents and Republicans. And I'd just like to tell you about a couple of them here. And some red states. That's what I wanted to talk about, the red state poll numbers. We know they're down in the blue. That's fine. But in the red state, here's Colorado, a red state. 56% of the people in Colorado disapprove of George W. Bush, the job he's doing as president. In Florida, a red state, 58% of the people polled disapprove of George W. Bush. Other red states here, well, we got some more. New Mexico, a red state, 56% of the people think he's doing a lousy job. In Nevada, 56% of the people disapprove of the George Bush administration. In Missouri, 59% of the people disapprove of the job George W. Bush is doing as president. What do you think about that? These aren't blue states. This isn't California and New York I'm talking about. This isn't Illinois. Oh, no. These are red states where his popularity is absolutely tanked in the toilet. And why do you suppose that is? I think there's plenty of good reason why that is. Plenty of good reason.
Tell your friends. The best of the Guy James Show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the best of the Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. We GOP shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings of hurt and pain who make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad, get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies, be evil and show no feelings to listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
George, what are you doing?
Taking my son a little something. But he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
Woo! Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Woo!
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
All right, back with you with the Guy James Show, and let's see. I'm gonna get a phone here. Yes, I think we do have our guest with you. We've I'm gonna ruin Keith's name. I really am. I know it. It's Keith Cluey, right?
That's correct.
Have we got Keith on the phone?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, glad to have you with us, Keith. I wasn't sure. I was cutting out on me there just for a moment or two. Keith Cluey is with us, and he's got a lot of experience. Well, I'm going to let him tell you why he's with us tonight and your recent experiences. Did you just get back from Afghanistan? How long ago, Keith?
I was in Afghanistan from the end of 2002 through the end of 2003 as a public affairs and media person.
Wow, public affairs. You're the first public affairs and media person from the armed services that we've had on the program. Exactly what was your job there?
I shot and produced my own television stuff. I did photos for release and news stories and for release. And then I also escorted media when they would come over. That was probably the biggest thing, was escorting the media out on combat missions, where we would go out and try to find Al-Qaeda and Taliban and do what we had to do.
Interesting. Media seems to have left Afghanistan.
Yeah, I was there. We got there in November, and when things started spooling up for the beginning of Iraq, pretty much everyone left, and we were down to a lot of stringers and a few of the second-string reporters from the bigger news outlet.
Tell me, Keith, shouldn't that still be a big story, what's going on in Afghanistan right now?
It should be a huge story. Everybody knows who Jessica Lynch is from Iraq. You know, she got into a traffic accident and got turned into a hero. And the same day, which was my birthday, by the way, I had six friends get killed on a helicopter crash in Afghanistan, which hardly made the news.
Yeah, yeah. And as it turns out, the other story was less than truthful, from what I understand.
Yeah, it was blown way out of proportion, and people were talking about it before they even knew what the facts were.
Well, it bothers me every time I see something on Afghanistan now. I know that it's still a very treacherous situation for our armed service personnel there, and yet on the nightly news, it's like it doesn't even exist. And have we succeeded in getting the job done in Afghanistan?
we're in the process of succeeding, I think, while we're over there. The national government is starting to be able to influence its control over the rest of the countries. Smaller militias and the former warlords. We're building schools and we're building wells and medical clinics and that kind of stuff, and slowly turning over the security issues to the Afghan National Army.
What do you know of how well the security issues are going to be turned over in Iraq? Do you have any guess as to when that might take place?
That is so far above where my point of view is. I think things are, well, I know that things are slowly getting turned over to the Iraqi security forces and the Iraqi army, but I don't see us getting out of there anytime soon.
Well, we keep hearing these dueling stories. We hear one general say we've got to, you know, one battalion ready. We hear Mr. Bush say there's 75 to 100 battalions ready, and I never know what to believe. It's extremely difficult. But and I wanted to ask you, did you see this? I don't know what to call it. Some kind of a press conference the other day, or this.
Yeah, I would call it a press conference.
Yeah,
conversation.
Yeah. You saw it.
Yeah, I watched it a couple of times.
What do you think about the people that performed on that, I want to say? Were they handpicked, do you think?
I'm positive that they were handpicked. They looked for people who looked good in uniform and had the right haircut and were well-spoken and had credibility, and that's why they ended up picking guys who were captains, who are company commanders or who are briefers for people who come in and don't have a problem getting up in front of people and speaking.
Yeah, one of my listeners said they didn't see a CIB or a CMB in the whole bunch.
I don't have either, but I spent about 200 days out in the field with the 82nd Airborne. So, you know, just because you don't have a CIB or a CMB or whatever the new latest and greatest badge is for all the non-grunts and non-medics doesn't mean that you weren't in the field and you don't have any credibility.
Okay, because we'll never know. I guess it'll probably come out one time or another later on as to who the gentlemen were that were on there and so forth, and the one lady, and the one Iraqi fellow. But it all looked to me like such a terribly scripted little play that was put on for us, and I felt bad for our soldiers that were there.
I would have said that it was completely scripted. They knew the questions, so they had time to prepare their answers, and they are probably answers that they've had to give before for the same questions from someone else. You know, congressmen go there, or Rumsfeld goes there, or, you know, other people who were distinguished visitors go there. And they get a pretty much stock brief on this is how we think we're doing up to today.
Right. Well, I just felt bad about the whole thing. I mentioned in my opening of the program today, it just, when I saw a picture from behind Mr. Bush standing there looking at the podium, looking up at our, I think, 11 people in that on that little bleachers set that they had set up there, it just seemed so odd and so sad to me that here he was halfway around the world having this scripted performance in front of some soldiers. He couldn't even have a heart-to-heart talk with them, and that bothered me.
It bothered me, too. I mean, it was one of those things where if you want to have a conversation, you fly over there and you sit down and you have lunch with the troops.
Right.
Clinton did it while we were in Bosnia. Rumsfeld's done it multiple times. But, you know, landing Air Force One at Baghdad International probably is not the wisest move for security. And past that, you know, the other way that you can sit down and actually make troops feel like you care is to come and go and visit them when they are in the hospital getting, you know, put back together. When
right.
I came home, I had my left ankle put back together and then spent 6 months in physical therapy.
Ooh, my oh my. And there are many thousands, aren't there, of people that have had similar injuries, and we don't hear about that on a daily basis, and we should.
And I fall outside the counts because I wasn't considered to be wounded because I wasn't actually hit by anything. We went up to capture someone. He pulled the pin on a grenade, and we all went diving for cover, and one person ended up sending more fire his rant down his area, and he fell down, and the grenade blew up on his chest.
Oh,
so, you know, I was going away from there trying to not get hit by shrapnel and ended up slipping on rocks. So I'm not in that count, and I'm sure that there are hundreds of people who are just like me who got injured while they were over there and weren't in the official, you know, wounded.
Not wounded, but injured as a result of war nonetheless.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your group, Operation Truth, and what it is and why you're involved.
We're a nonpartisan group of Iraqi war and Afghan war veterans who our main purpose is to support the troops, both guys who are current military and guys who are having to deal with the Veterans Administration for medical care, for follow-up care from injuries, for follow-up care for post-traumatic stress disorder. We try to influence the people who actually are making decisions on budgets and who gets what money and who where new hospitals go. And we try to stay as vocal as possible so that the issues that all of us who are veterans have get addressed.
Right, right. Well, you know, and that you probably then would have been involved in addressing the problem of these bulletproof vests that so many of people had to buy on their own and their families back home had to buy and send them to him. Is that getting addressed finally? Is it getting taken care of?
The news media is saying that it's finally getting addressed more than it has been in the past, that actually they are coming down and saying that you need to finally pay your bill. Me personally, I got issued body armor and helmet, but I ended up buying good goggles and some other equipment, which I believe only the goggles are actually going to be covered.
That's something to the average citizen here that's never been in the military, or even a lot of people who have been in the military. It seems that it's unthinkable that you would have to buy some needed equipment that you would have to have over there.
It's been happening. I joined the Marine Corps in 1992, and it's been happening since I've been in, and I'm sure that it happened before I was there. In the past, the equipment that the Army has had, or the Marine Corps, or any of the services, has gone through all kinds of development, and then the contract ends up going to the lowest bidder anyways. So guys would go out on their own and buy good boots, because you're going to be hiking through the mountains, and one minute you're going to be in snow, and the next minute you're going to be walking across a river, and the next minute you're going to be back down in the valley, and it's going to be 90 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that's been happening, and it's a problem that I think is finally getting addressed, both by issuing better gear and more gear, and also at the same time paying for gear that wasn't issued but is needed.
I regularly correspond with a young man who's in Baghdad right now, and he tells me that despite what we've heard, and these are his terms, we're still using hillbilly armor in Iraq.
I'm sure for a lot of the vehicles that could possibly be true. In Afghanistan, the only people who had the up-armored 11-14 Hummers were the military police. All of the infantry had the regular soft-skin turtle shell or the canvas. And the threat there for IED attacks is not nearly as large as it is in Iraq. So I guess they diverted everything to where the threat was a little bit larger.
And a lot of the soldiers, from what I understand, are having trouble getting reimbursed for some of these items that they were told they'd be reimbursed for. Are you folks involved in that?
Yes. There's a blog that's on our site at optruth.org, and we address everything that's going on that concerns veterans. And I encourage people to take a look at it and actually have more than just a I support the troops sticker on the back of their car. Actually get informed on what is happening and how it's affecting the troops and how they can actually help influence their congressman and their senator into financing what needs to get paid for.
It would seem to me that if you're exactly right, that if you really and truly want to support the troops, those little ribbons might be fine, but calls to your senator, your representative, and demanding that our armed forces get the proper equipment to keep them safe and sound, it'd be a whole lot better way to support the troops.
I completely agree. The people who end up signing off on military appropriations are all of our congressmen. They have a small constituency for each of them, and, you know, them getting back into office is their goal, and they're going to do what it takes to get back into office. And if that means they actually have to do what the people think need to be done with the troops and supporting the troops and paying the troops bills, then that's what needs to happen.
Well,
you got to realize that a brand new private in the Army is not pulling home very much money every month. And then he goes out and he spends $1,100 on body armor, and that's more than half the pay that he brought home that month.
Oh, yeah. When, many times with a young family back home, a young wife, a child. What do you know about the morale of the soldiers in Iraq right now? Do they think they were lied to from the people that you've talked to?
My best friend is in Iraq right now. He's a battle captain at the headquarters. So he coordinates everything that's going on, different units leaving outside the wire. And his morale is, I can speak of him and the people who work directly with him. Their morale is of, I just want to do my job and I just want to go home. I don't really think that they much care about the politics or the reasoning or anything else that happened a couple of years ago. They care about the here and now and the fact that I have, you know, 3 guys who depend on me, and then my boss has 12 guys who depend on him, and, you know, it's looking out for themselves and their troops and trying to bring everybody home.
That is the reality of war, isn't it? First of all, you're going to look out for you, yourself, and your friends that are with you.
It really is. You will end up looking out more for your friends than you will for yourself. Because little things will go through your mind, like, I'm single and I don't have kids, but my best friend who's in my squad is married and has 3 kids, and it would be a lot bigger waste for him to get killed than for me to get killed.
Oh, it's an amazing statement, Keith. It really is. I think that hits home with some people. It certainly does with me. I thank you so much for being on our program again this evening. Once again, your website is optruth.org.
Optruth.org.
Yeah, and I hope all of our listeners will go to that and take a look and see what these good people are all about. It's something that needs to be done. Somebody's got to look after our brave men and women that are overseas, and this is the group that's doing it. Keith, thanks so much for being on our program.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I was able to maybe shed a little bit of insight on
you certainly
how the
have.
Troops really feel.
You certainly have. Thank you so much. Wow, that last statement of his kind of gave me some goosebumps. It really did. Let's go to Ron in Naples. Hi, Ron.
Yes?
Yes.
Guy, this is Vaughn in Naples.
Vaughn, okay.
You were talking to your previous caller before the interview about when we might get out. You know, we're getting this double message from our president. One day he says that he's bringing democracy to the people. The next day he says we're going to fight the terrorists there, and there were no terrorists there except that dictator, and he's gone. And as far as the getting out, I mean, Mr. Bush had to rally support in Texas and all over with his, you know, energy people, and they sold the contracts. I mean, they've got the contracts. That's the first thing they did before they even went in there. So what are you going to do with this? And you got Shalaby, you know, the oil minister, you know?
Yes.
It's a joke. It really is. You know, it was running better with the French and the Germans, you know, getting the oil out. I mean, the oil was coming out fine. And another thing is, all about the war, you hear about what's happening to the poor Iraqi people in the cities and the populations, but nothing, not a word about the oil fields and how they're suppressing the oil, and the price has doubled. And it's just like Jimmy Carter all over again, only Carter had a good heart. And he was co-opted by the Republicans and the Arabs. And this Republican we have is really with the Arabs. I mean, the Saudis benefited from 9/11 and from everything else that's happened. And the oil companies are benefiting big time. So it's just like 73 all over. And that's all I have to say, guys.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Chris and Marco. Hi, Chris. Are you there, Chris? Hello, Chris. Chris, are you there? Guess not. Let's go to Allison up in Humboldt County. Hi, Allison. Well, we got a phone problem here of some kind. Ron, take that dial tone off there. Hello, Allison. Well, I'm afraid we might have lost all of our board right there, the way it looks. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I apologize for that. I don't know what happened there. Our phone board just went kablooey all of a sudden. We had several calls on there, and they all disappeared. I hope they'll give us a call back. It's disappointing to talk to a young man like Keith and find out that our soldiers aren't being properly taken care of. But, you know, before this whole thing started, that didn't seem like it was a big consideration. The big consideration was we got to get in there. We got to get in there because he's got those WMDs, and, man, we got to get in there. We got to get in there now. And I think sometimes when I mull the whole situation over, it seemed like the Bush was in such a hurry that he wanted to get in there before people got wise to what was really going on. I think he wanted to get in there and get this whole thing started before the American people found out that it was all a hoax. And eventually they would have found out it was all a hoax. You know, the lies that were told about the yellow cake uranium and that whole story, you know all about that, and all the WMDs that were supposedly there, that the right-wing nuts still swear were there, only they're buried in Syria right now, and they're going to bring them back any day now. We hear that all the time. It was in such a rush, and so we had soldiers sent over there by the thousands, unprotected, with poor armor, and with Humvees that weren't properly armored. And it's unconscionable, in my mind, for a commander-in-chief to send people into harm's way ill-prepared for battle. Absolutely ill-prepared. And I don't like it. I don't like it a bit. Let's go to Greg in Westport, Connecticut. Hi, Greg. Ron, is our phone working? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Are you talking to me, guy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that went fast. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd call, and I thought we'd play a quick version of What If It Were Democrats. And I want all your Republican listeners out there saying that there's nothing that Karl Rove did wrong or Tom DeLay did wrong to think about this little scenario. Let's imagine that Nancy Pelosi went to Pennsylvania and redistricted the state 5 years early, so a lot of Republican districts were suddenly in Philadelphia. So all of a sudden, Republican candidates can't possibly win. Then we have Senate, in this case, Minority Leader Harry Reid, who is, let's say he's insider trading on casinos and then passes legislation to benefit casinos in which he's invested. And then third, let's say we had Al Gore and Sandy Berger cooking up evidence, say, about Milosevic, that he has weapons of mass destruction, and then outing an agent who's a Republican agent saying that that's not true. What do you think the Republican response would be?
Man, I'm glad I'm not around to see it. If it, it would have been long and loud, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's what makes me so angry about these people, is that they are never consistent. These same people who say we're giving support to our enemies are the same people who criticized Clinton when we were in Kosovo and everything else. So it's hypocrisy that really makes me angry.
Oh, they're the champions of hypocrisy. They really are.
Yeah, and I just wanted to get back to that thing about Laura Ingraham. You know, that woman is such an idiot. All that proves is that Joe Wilson has a wife, not that she was a spy. It's like if I see a picture of you standing there with your wife, I'm going to say, aha, guy's wife is a spy. I mean, it's so beyond idiocy, it's ridiculous.
Well, and the fact that she actually went on national TV and got Sean Hannity to agree with her, that Valerie Plame had been outed by Vanity Fair rather than by Bob Novak and whoever told him all about it. I mean, it was absurd.
Well, it's the complete lack of morality. Even if that were true, does that make what Karl Rove did okay? I mean, even Poppy Bush said, if you out a CIA agent, it's treason. So why is it suddenly okay now? Just because it's a Republican that's doing it?
I don't think Junior listens to Poppy at all, do you?
I think there's real Oedipal issues there. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Good to hear from you. Now we're going to go up to Alice in Humboldt County. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Sorry we got you cut off there.
I enjoyed that talk with your guest. I saw that a little episode with Bush and the troops, and it was just a performance. I think everybody was just, told to say.
Oh, absolutely. I think.
It really makes me sick. What we have in our White House are criminals. No regard for the people.
Well, they were complaining this week that the Democrats are trying to criminalize politics, and I just love that. What are you supposed to call it when someone's accused of treason by outing a CIA agent? I mean, what do you call that besides, it's criminal?
And it just makes me ill to think that our boys aren't getting supplies that they should have.
Oh, that is a crime. It really is.
I don't think that ever happened in another war, unless it was Vietnam.
I'm not aware of it, if it ever did. I was not in Vietnam. I know some people who were, and I've talked to them at great length, and I've never, ever heard that come up. Never once.
No.
And there were some pretty tough conditions there as well.
That was a sad one.
Yeah, but it seemed to me that they had what they needed when they went in there, and it's just a disgrace that that this president had the temerity to send these young men into harm's way with improper equipment, and then bill them for it later. That's the kicker. Yeah. Alice, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, how'd you like to have a young son or daughter sent over to Iraq right now and have to buy him a bulletproof vest, your body armor, and hope they can find enough armor in the junkyard over there to armor plate the Humvee that they have to ride around in? That's what it's come to, and it's really a pitiful situation. It really is. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hello, Connie. Boy, we are having some phone trouble here. Hello, Connie.
I wanted to talk about how they must have been faxing, Karl Rove from wherever he was hiding must have been faxing talking points about the Bush speaking to those soldiers, and it coming out as if it were scripted, because both Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, as well as CNN, had reports that about Clinton with the rocks at Normandy, making a cross and dancing with his wife. I mean, it was just as if they were reading off the same script.
Oh, well, they do. I mean, the RNC gets those out first thing in the morning when they know what's coming, and they try and hit everything off at the pass. They're good. I mean, they're really good. I have to give it to them.
Well, you do, but at the same time, I just would like to, make a note for all, people who are on the right who are listening, is that this is not from people's hearts. This is propaganda. This is talking points, being delved out. This is, deflection. And, it's not talking about the point at hand. The point at hand is that you've got the president talking to scripted soldiers, and, you're not getting the truth. You're getting propaganda. So.
Can you imagine, if you will, imagine for a moment Franklin Roosevelt sitting in his wheelchair in front of 11 GIs and having to be told what to say to the GIs? Is that not a crazy idea?
Well, it's ludicrous.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to know what's going on in Iraq, you can't have anything scripted. Do we want the truth, or do you want talking points?
No, they don't want the truth, and they were not about to let any truth come out on that program. There was no way. That was a scripted little off-Broadway production. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm. And, scripted with how to deflect it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Connie.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Oh, I don't know. I probably I won't take any more calls right at the minute. We will after the top of the hour. I wouldn't want to cut somebody short. That's what I would be doing if I took another call right now. Do want to remind everybody, the Stonewall Democratic Caucus of Southwest Florida, they're having an evening with Deborah Hampton. It's coming up on November the 10th from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Bottom Line in the main nightclub. That's at 3090 Evans Avenue in Fort Myers, Florida. Tickets for this event are $20 for general admission, $50 for VIP seating, including a wine and cheese reception with Ms. Hampton. That's going to be a great, great evening. It really is. Proceeds are going to benefit the McGregor Clinic and the Stonewall Democratic Caucus of Southwest Florida. Non-perishable food items, blankets, and baby items will be collected at this event to benefit the nonprofit McGregor Clinic Food Bank. And if you'd like to find out about tickets for that, call 239-898-3607 or 458-5715 or 855-851-2323. You can talk to Don Mayo or David Seaton, and either one of them will fix you up with tickets for that event. I'm going, and we're going to have a good time, I'm sure. I hope you'll stick around. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk about at the top of the hour when we come back. And don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Truth in Broadcasting Network.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
My SUV is bigger than yours. I don't mess around when I hit for the store. Got a bigger motor, bigger seats, bigger flow for my big fat feet. Bigger windows so I can see all the tiny little people in front of me. When I need to park, no need to worry. Got bumpers that will move small buildings in a hurry. Environment? Don't make me laugh. Think I give a damn about a tank of gas. My wife wants the keys when she goes to the bank. She says it feels like it's driving in a tank. I guess what I'm getting at, you might say, is bigger is better in the USA. Mm-hmm. Bigger is better in the USA.
Texaco. Yeah, baby.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Hello, and we're back at the top of the hour. Glad you stayed around after the news. We got a whole board full of callers there, and I'm going to get to them in just a moment. You know, I was thinking of one of the things that really ticked me off about that performance of Bush's the other day is, isn't that taking advantage of our soldiers? Wasn't that using our soldiers to promote his political agenda? Wasn't that a rotten, selfish thing of him to do, to set them up there and make them, you know, have them answer questions to try and make him look good? Shouldn't it have been the commander-in-chief trying to make them look good? And you know what the whole thing was all about. It was to enhance his position on this. He knows his ratings are in the toilet. And the amazing thing about it is that about only 29% of the people approve of this thing now. And this video really was a big moment because it caught these Bush people red-handed in the act of manufacturing propaganda. Caught him right in the act of doing it. I mean, I don't know how he could get the goods on anybody any better than he did. And it was so easy to see and so plain to see right in front of everybody's faces that even an idiot could understand it. Any idiot that watched that had to be sitting there going, oh, wait a minute now. I voted for George Bush, but this ain't hardly right what he's doing here. That's what happened. They did that so openly, so blatantly that any moron could see that it was a big lie that they were trying to manufacture there. And I think it's going to hurt him. I really do. I'm going to go to a friend of mine right now, and they're going to talk. She's going to talk about a big, big, big event coming up next weekend. Martha, are you with us?
I am with you. And first, I want to say I'm a wife of a 14-year veteran of our military, our armed forces, and I'm also a proud aunt of a United States Marine Corps serviceman who just got back from Fallujah. And my dear nephew says, God, please don't send me back there. It's a nightmare. It's just a mess. You know, the guys over there are trying to do their best, but, you know, they're just not what they're signed up for.
So, I guess Fallujah is still no walk in the park.
It's no walk in the park, but, you know, let's just pray it gets better.
Yep.
You know, I wish everyone in that situation well. The reason I'm calling you is I want to announce that, yes, it's very big, big news. Here in Bonita Springs, 2004 presidential Democratic candidate and United States Congressman Dennis Kucinich will be here for dinner. The public is invited. That's going to be next Saturday, October 22nd, at the Bonita Springs Middle School for our Harvest Festival Super Supper, a light soup and salad dinner. And people from around the state will be coming because they're excited that Dennis Kucinich will be here. He's one of the few congressmen in the United States Congress and the House of Representatives who's speaking the truth and trying to bring our troops home in a bipartisan effort. House Bill 55 was to ask for a timeline to start bringing our troops home next October, a year from this month. And he's gotten Republicans and Democrats signed on to that, so it's a bipartisan issue. I know people, as you were saying, 29% are only for this war now. So 81% of people, that's pretty bipartisan,
yeah.
Want to bring them home.
And yeah, 70, so, 71.
71, gosh, you
that's
know,
right.
Hey, let's do some math.
Yeah, well, I don't want anybody calling us and saying that we don't know how to do our math. And you know, Martha, and I'll interrupt you, Dennis Kucinich, I admire tremendously. Dennis, as you know, we supported him for his run for the presidency. And he
I didn't know.
Yes, we did. And he is one of a, well, you know how I feel about politicians nowadays. I think you could take all the honest and ethical politicians that really stand for something and put them on a small bus. All of them out of Washington would fit on a small bus, and Dennis Kucinich could drive that bus.
Yeah, he's one of them, and he's going to be here in our lovely little town of Bonita Springs at Bonita Springs Middle School. I want people to email me at BonitaDemocrats@AOL.com. That's BonitaDemocrats@AOL.com, very simple. Or they can call me at home, 947-9579. The Bonita Springs Democratic Political Committee, our fundraising group, will be hosting this, and we're going to have folks there from Military Families Speak Out, Veterans for Peace, Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice, as well as a host of other Democratic those are not Democratic organizations, but they certainly join with us on occasion. Democratic clubs from Collier County throughout Lee County. The Progressive Democrats of Lee County will be coming, the Democratic Club of Estero and San Carlos Parras, Fort Myers, the Democratic Women's Club of both Collier and Lee. We have members coming from the Democratic Party from Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Clearwater, Brandon, Alachua, Gainesville, from across the state, because Dennis Kucinich is an exciting person to listen to.
Oh, he sure is. He can light a crowd on fire.
Absolutely, and I just want to encourage people, it's only $25. Students are $15.
And you get your supper for that?
And you get a supper for
that.
You get a show. You get Gene Vaccaro, the president of the Collier County Democratic Club. You know what a showman he is. He knows how to put together a program, so he's going to be our MC.
He's probably going to give away prizes guaranteed to be worth less than $1 million.
Well, actually, we will have a $100 door prize.
There you go.
Right, and we will have a prize awarded for the best soup, because we're having a little soup competition. One of our local Democratic National Committee members will be a soup judge. I will let him remain nameless. He'd be embarrassed for me to tell.
I mean, wait a minute. You're having this deal. Dennis Kucinich is coming here. You're having a $100 door prize. You're having soup and salad and music.
Yes, we're going to have
And it's only $25?
It's $25 and $15 for students.
Oh,
so you can come and pay at the door, but it would really be helpful so we can accommodate you if you RSVP at BonitaDemocrats@AOL.com or 947-9579. And
well,
I want to hear that phone ringing, folks.
And in case anybody missed it, we'll talk about it a little later on in the program, too.
God bless you.
You folks got to get there and see Dennis Kucinich. You've got to.
I wish you could come, but I know that you're going to be doing your part being on the show next week. We would have loved to have you. But we'll be thinking about you, and from 6 to 9 next week, listen to the Guy James Show if you don't come to the dinner.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Martha.
Okay,
good to hear from you.
Take care. Rock on, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
I love Dennis Kucinich. You can't be a Democrat and not love Dennis Kucinich, whether you're backing for president or not. Dennis Kucinich is an honest, ethical man who speaks his mind and doesn't play too much politics, and I love that about him. I really do. You want the truth? Dennis Kucinich opened his mouth, you get the truth. That's how it is. You can take it to the bank when Dennis Kucinich talks. And that's what I like about him. I really do. Oh, gosh, we're going to go to Dave in Northern California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. I, too, love Dennis Kucinich immensely. I've got his bumper sticker still on my car.
Oh, yeah.
He had a few real good colleagues and still does. I like so much John Conyers, Lynn Woosley, and Bernie Sanders. And, you know, we're about to have another one. One of your colleagues, Tony Trupiano, has made the decision. He hung up the radio show, and he's headed for Congress.
Is he?
Yeah, and he will be great. He'll be as good as any of them.
From Michigan?
Yes, he is. That's
yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I called you for a few other quick things, if I might, because the first and only veto that George Bush is going to do is the bill, the measure to say that torturing prisoners is un-American, and he's going to veto that bill. It's the only one that he's found important enough to do that to. The George Will, who has for a long time been a very intelligent, articulate, well-reasoned voice on ABC and in his own column, turned on the Bushes like crazy this just a couple of days ago. Didn't get a lot of publicity, but he gave a very blistering account of the Bush, George Bush, Tom DeLay, and the whole group of them. And I hope, I'd like to see if he holds true to that again tomorrow.
Well, the hierarchy of the whole Republican Party right now smells like a dead fish.
Well, yeah, it is. It's as bad as it gets, I think. You know, the other point, though, that you've been discussing, and the main reason that I called, I'm going at you backwards here, was that everything about this administration, as I see it, is a plan to steal money and shift it into the pockets of this little neocon clique, this Carlisle cartel or whatever. And so this war is very profitable. They send billions of dollars out of our treasury, and they send it to Bechtel, and they send it to Halliburton, and they send it to these other little insider corporations that are based home addresses outside the country. They don't pay any taxes, and they're supposed to provide the needs of the soldiers. The ambulance, they overcharge like crazy. They do one bag of laundry, that's $100. They have it outsourced, and it's done for 50 cents. Every bag of laundry, though, that is how Halliburton does that. Every meal, I understand, is $125. Every meal that every soldier gets over there. And they outsource that, and each meal actually costs about $1.50. So that's, we are being ripped off like crazy, and that is a very willful plan that they have. And that's profit, profit, profit. There is no end to how much greed this Cheney Bush group of folks are all about.
You're exactly right, Dave. The reason for this war was nothing to do with patriotism. It is about profit.
Oh, I know that. And then, you know, we talk about the fact that they have to set up props and have boxes on his back for people telling him what to say and how phony that is. Well, that's ugly, but what they're doing at the core, these are psychopathic, hardcore criminals. They should, more likely, you should be visiting them in a prison cell.
Well, perhaps we will be visiting a couple of them.
The indictments are coming, I think. I do believe there's some good people that are going to not put up with it. They're going to say, we find you to be deserving of these charges. Be interesting to see how that comes down.
I just hope real justice is done. That's all I'm hoping for.
Might be within less than a week.
I hope so. Dave, I got to move. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for calling. Let's. We got Juanita up in Winter Haven who wants to talk about the little chat, the conversation with the U.S. troops that Mr. Bush had the other day. Hi, Juanita.
Hi. Oh yes, I got it already started, and oh my goodness, it was really weird looking. And anyway, it looked like he had a bulge in the back of his coat.
Oh, no,
did
not
you notice
again.
That?
Not again. Oh, no,
well,
not again.
Well, it looked to me like it. You know, certain viewpoints, they came from the back quite a bit. But anyway, there was one soldier that was kind of sitting there grinning, you know, and the others were looking kind of somber. So then they showed, after it was over, they showed the woman, you know, telling them what to do. And she said, now, come on and smile, you know. And I thought, well, the guy took her up on it.
Yeah. Oh,
but what was interesting was, too, was he said, I think he called himself. He said, I wish I could look you in the face, you know. Then he said, but maybe I can later on, you know. Maybe be okay. Okay, well, if things are going so great over there, why don't we make a tourist place out of it if it's so great?
Well, and that's right. And you know, Juanita, they build that as a conversation with the U.S. troops. If George Bush had pure motives in that whole business, why couldn't he have just had a conversation with some troops and left the cameras away from the whole
right.
thing? I'm your commander-in-chief. I want to talk with you. I want to boost your morale a little bit. I want to know what you're thinking. Leave the cameras out of the room. Mm-hmm. No press on the whole thing. Just have him do it honestly instead of this little performance. That was disgusting.
And I think it was one of the worst performances of his, you know, whatever you want to call it, his reign.
Something's wrong, don't you think? You think maybe Carl's out of the loop right now and not coaching him? I mean, there's something terribly wrong.
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard that. The whole thing was a fiasco, really.
It was. They're off their game. There's no doubt about it. They are
And another thing, have you heard the new poll, you know, how many supporters among the blacks that he has.
Oh, yeah, that's a remarkable stat, isn't it? 2%? 2%.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right. And another thing, Laura Ingraham, they don't care what they say. They know people are going to believe them. Some people will believe anything they say.
That's right. That's
right. But one thing I want to ask you, I missed the first 30 minutes of your program. You may have already talked about it. But what is this deal with Air America?
What?
Huh?
What deal with Air America?
On a petition to get you on there.
Oh, I heard some people have got a petition up. They want to send it to Air America.
Yes, on your website.
Yeah, they want us to get on
there. So that would be a dream come true.
Well, maybe it'll happen someday. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know. Thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you. And let's go to Shirley in Fort Myers. Hi, Shirley.
Yeah, hi, guy. I hope I get to see Dennis Kucinich because I think he's just wonderful. And I hope they're going to serve him a vegan soup with no chicken broth in it because he's so idealistic.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings me to the point I called. I have just read a book. It's just come out. I'm not even sure it's in the bookstore yet. We get it through the publisher. A friend did. She's a friend of the author. It's called The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony by Will Tuttle. And I ask every single human being with an open mind to please read this book and put into action what the book is saying. There's so much hypocrisy and saying, oh, we want peace, we're loving, compassionate people, and this book will prove that they're really not unless they're willing to do it. It says, I don't want to give it away, but it's a diet for world peace, and he's got everything in it that will bring about peace if we'll all do what he says. And I'm just urging everybody to get your bookstore to order it if it isn't in yet.
What's the name of the book again?
The World Peace Diet.
Okay.
By Will Tuttle, PhD.
He's
an absolute genius, and I think you'll appreciate it, and I hope you'll urge your people to read it. And I love, perhaps you could, he's usually, I think, here in December, and maybe you could get him on as a guest. He'd be absolutely wonderful.
Oh, we'll check into that.
He's so intelligent. Okay, thank you.
Thanks
very
for
much.
Your call.
Right, bye.
888-602-7500-7501-0203-04. We got a couple of lines open, and we would love to hear from you this weekend. You know, I keep asking, and I never seem to get the answer. I sit here and complain about Republicans right now, and when you're not in power, that's what you seem to do. You take a look at the other side and grade their performance. That's what we do when our people are not in power. We have to look with a keen eye at the other side and talk about how they're doing, and I don't think they're doing so well, and you know that. But by the same token, you also know that I think the Democrats aren't doing such a wild, hot job right now either. And I keep asking this, and I never seem to get the answers. Who are the leaders of the Democratic Party today? Anybody want to answer that for me? And if you name some, if you do name some leaders of the Democratic Party, true leaders, my next question is, are they worthy of carrying the Democratic Party's banner? Where are the Democratic leaders like... think back over the years. Think of J.W. Fulbright. My God, is there a Democrat alive today that can be J.W. Fulbright? A lot of you are not familiar with him. As I recall, he was the absolute lone vote against crazy Joe McCarthy when he tried to get permanent funding for his over-the-top witch hunt that he was holding. And where's the Hubert Humphreys. Where's the Hubert Humphreys of the party? Can you imagine any of our party leaders of today standing up to the racist Dixiecrats like Hubert Humphrey did, more or less just forcing them out of the party because he wasn't going to stand for racism within the Democratic Party? How about Gene McCarthy? There's a man a lot of you forget about. Gene McCarthy, who was truly a voice in the wilderness when it came to speaking out against the Vietnam War. Are there many Democrats willing to do the same thing today? Not that I can see. And how many Democrats are willing to fight to the bitter end for the poor and the disadvantaged, as did Eleanor Roosevelt, or LBJ even. Although I disagreed with LBJ a lot of the time, he was, you'll have to admit, very instrumental in getting equal rights for the minorities in this nation. And Bobby Kennedy. Who among our Democratic leaders are willing to take such a stand when it comes to economic justice and equal rights for those of people in this country less fortunate? Who? And I guess what I'm getting at is I'm getting more and more dissatisfied every single day with the remnants of the Democratic Party. I've talked this over with many, many local Democrats and plenty of others from all around the country, and I hear the same thing from all of them. Where are our leaders and what do they stand for? It seems the only thing we know for sure is that our so-called leaders claim that they are not George W. Bush. Well, that's not good enough. That is not good enough. Isn't that some way to win an election? I'm not as bad as the other guy. It's true, though, and that's what they're acting like. Hell, here in Florida, Bill Nelson, whose case I've been all over for a long time now, and you know that because of his abysmal voting record, there's a joke circulating about him saying his campaign slogan says, "Help defeat Catherine Harris, vote for Bill Nelson." There's truth to that, isn't there? There's a lot of truth to that. You know it, and I know it. I don't know. What about Joe Biden? Where does he stand on important issues right now? Did Joe vote for the war? Did he vote for the bankruptcy bill? The answers to both of those questions is yes. And how do you run for office as a Democrat after voting yes for both of those issues? One, maybe? You got suckered by the Bush lies about Saddam being the number one menace to the world, and you voted for him, voted with him on the war. But eventually, if you have any sense, and if you're a true Democrat, you have to fess up and admit that you were wrong. But are you willing to correct your mistake? Has Biden done that? Has Hillary done that? Have any of our esteemed Democratic senators done that? Said, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have voted for that damn war. Nobody that I know of is doing that. Have any of our Democratic leaders spoken out for some serious campaign finance reform? Oh, they hate to hear those words. Term limits to keep politicians from moving to Washington permanently. Health insurance for the 50 million or so who don't have any. Have any of those people stepped up to the plate on the border issue and the illegal immigration? I'll tell you this, the man or woman who successfully addresses the problem of the border and health insurance will be the leading contender for the Democrats to take back the White House. Take that to the bank. But you see, they're all being real careful, very, 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 very careful. No one is willing to stick his or her neck out to say anything controversial, nothing at all that's going to get those Republicans really sore at them, because they're aiming exactly at the middle of the political spectrum. They are political cowards. So how do we as voters judge them? How do we measure them against the rest? You know, they're playing games with us, and I resent it. I want another Hubert Humphrey, a Fulbright, a Bobby Kennedy, an Eleanor Roosevelt, a Eugene McCarthy, and a Martin Luther King. I want the best leaders, not the best politicians. If someone doesn't step forward with an honest and open discussion of the real problems facing America right now, if that person doesn't propose some real answers for those problems using solid Democratic Party values, there's going to be a revolt within the party, and I'm not just kidding around. And you all know what those party values are. There are plenty of people ready to bolt and join one of the several groups trying to gain a foothold in the political arena right now. The problem facing Democrats is that we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just have to go back to our roots and be honest to God Democrats again. That's all. Work with the people. Work for the people. You know what the Democratic Party values are. Work for the poor, the disadvantaged, and the guy that needs a break. And help out the working man, the people that have built this country. That's all. Is that so hard? Is it so hard to come up with a meaningful program to stop the borders from being overrun? Is it so hard to come up with a meaningful health care solution to this terrible problem we have in this nation right now? I don't think it is. These people are supposed to be our best and brightest, or in the halls of Congress. Prove it for a change. Show that you're working for the people instead of thinking that you're our princes and princesses in Washington. That's how you act. It is. I just want Democrats to go back to being Democrats again. That's all. And I'm just, I'm real damn tired of people playing politics. I hate it. I really do. Recent contributors to the program, Ed and Janice Stoll, Lowell Pastor, Iris Abel, Donald Spanier, Mary Ashby, Flo Beckler, Carolyn Patton-Dushku, Ed Ryan, Betty Ford, Joe McGuire, Margaret Rizzle, Elizabeth Harris, Vince Mosca, Betty McMahon, Hilda Perry, Mary Kate Fiera, Shannon Danford, Paul Young, Valerie Cribbs, George King, Martha Simon, John Patterson, Spence and Rusty Nunley, Pete Burkert, Jason and Gina Alcazar, John Coolidge, Elaine and Virginia Miller, loyal listeners, Louise Mard, Jim Alexander, Robert and Rosemarie Rao, and Marcia Johns and Kathleen Cassidy. And we'll have some more later for you in the program.
To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Truth in Broadcasting Network. We'll be back right after these words.
This is The Guy James Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap. I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling. I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending tribes making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, cuts.
I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm
a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a washtub, and my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat bomb as big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Terry Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerating the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's science. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class.
I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts. I am a cyst on the ass of humanity. New Republican slogan, read my guts. From the bowels of the earth comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the cop of the cop of Joe McCarthy, like Gestapo. The right-wing, foam-of-the-mouth, jack-booted slob. The democratic trasher. Years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a fig, I'm the fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Please be a lady tonight.
Ah, Frankie, sing it. I love, you know, it's a funny thing about Frank Sinatra music. I like about 25% of it. A lot. A whole lot. I don't think there's a better song than My Way. And it's a funny thing about Sinatra. A lot of his music, I don't like it at all. But the ones I like, I really like. And I like the one just played New York, New York, and My Way. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. We're going to go to West Virginia, West by God, Virginia, and we're going to talk to Tom. Hi, Tom.
How you doing? How you doing?
Speak up a little, Tom.
Get your phone. You know, guy, I was just listening a bit ago, webcast. I'm in a place where radio waves don't seem to reach. I listened to your discussion about the lack of effective leadership in the Democratic Party today, and I'm certainly not going to disagree with you, but I think I'd qualify it at one level. It seems to me, Guy, that it's the elected office-holding Democrats that aren't doing much, because I've been really impressed in the last year or year and a half or so by some of the things that that Al Gore's saying out there under the auspices of Move On. That series of speeches he's given, those four or five speeches, have been really moving, in my opinion.
So, you're right, Tom, and your qualification is duly noted. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and of course, Dennis Kucinich, there's a man who's as honest as they come. If you ask me in terms of morality, my God, what I'd give for another Jimmy Carter today. You know, a little bit of honesty, a man who won't lie to you in office. But it seems to me, of the crowd that's out there right now, I'm crossing my fingers for Al Gore. I mean, hell, he's already a proven winner, if nothing else.
Yeah,
And now, Guy, thanks for being there once again. Let me get out of the way. I know you've got things to say and people to talk to, bud.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Tom.
Bye-bye.
And you know, if there's such a thing as karma, Al Gore deserves another shot. If there's such a thing as karma, I think the man deserved to be president of the United States. I really do. And all my right-wing friends will listen to this program and go, oh, no, not Al Gore. Well, let me tell you something. I love it when they ask that question. Well, what if we'd elected him? Well, what if? You don't think for a moment that we could have been in the hot water win right now. But, you know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. But you know what I'd like to see the Democrats really do right now? And I will qualify what I said. And Tom's absolutely right. He's not an elected Democrat, Al Gore is. And there's some mighty fine people in the Democratic Party. I'm just not, and you hear me bring it up all the time. You hear me say Joe Biden and Bill Nelson, and I'm not particularly enamored with Hillary's stances on a lot of things right now. I could come around, but they're going to have to persuade me, and they're going to have to persuade me not with any politician's talk. They're going to have to persuade me with actions and deeds. That's what will persuade me. I'm not going to fall for the political hocus pocus. I just won't do it. But, you know, what I think the Democrats really need to do is just forget the focus groups, the polls, the strategy, and the game plans that they're always talking about. Why not just focus on what's right and good for America and let the voters decide whether or not they agree with you on it? The voters know what's right and good for America. Why not lay out a plan for America? And I hate to say it this way, sort of a democratic contract with America. I thought that was a good idea. That worked very, very well. Gingrich's contract with America. I don't agree with the way it was implemented and so forth, and it ended up being a bit disingenuous. But the concept of it was a good idea. And so come up with a contract with America. Tell them what you're going to do and stick to it no matter what. Don't do your political hocus pocus. And if you win, you know the voters are in agreement with you and you'll be able to get things done that need to be done. You won't end up in this mess that like Bush is in now with half the nation bucking him everything he wants to do because they know it's wrong. For example, you know the American voter wants universal health care. You know that. Many, many polls have shown that, and you don't have to go to a poll to find it. That's a given, because it's the right thing to do. If it's done right, it's going to benefit all Americans. And you also know that Americans desperately want something done about our porous borders. Every American wants something done about that. Yeah, Johnny?
One question. When you talk about, because I am a Republican, and I think I've made that point pretty clear. When you say universal health care, now would there would there be doctors who wanted to be private doctors, or would everyone have to be?
No. I think I know many, many Canadians, and you may as well. I know many Canadians that are perfectly happy with their system, perfectly happy with it. I know some rich fat cats from Canada who aren't that don't rave about it because they use the private physicians in Canada. And I don't see any reason why we can't do it. We're always going to have physicians here that are going to get filthy rich on what they want to do, and they don't want to become part of a healthcare system like that. I have this thing about the medical profession, and my friends will all tell you this. I got a cousin that's a doctor, and he likes to say, I make good money, but I went to school for 8 years. I say, hey, what was I doing for those 8 years? I was out working, studying. I was doing things too. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. And you signed this Hippocratic Oath, and you swore it, and you said you were, for the benefit of man and all that sort of thing. Live up to it. Live up to it. This isn't about you getting rich, man. That's not what it's about. If you want to get rich, that's okay, but that shouldn't be the reason you wanted to become a doctor. And, I know my right-wing friends are flaming mad at hearing that situation. Well, you've got every right to get rich being a... Yeah, you do. You got a right to, but don't you have an obligation, if you're in the practice of medicine, to look at humanity and want to help humanity and come at it from that aspect, from the true Hippocratic Oath standpoint? Don't you? So, besides the universal health care, that Americans really do want something about the borders, and we can't continue to allow illegal immigrants to pour into our country and put a huge burden on our already financially strapped economy, and to say nothing about the possible terrorists taking advantage of our mostly unguarded borders, and they are mostly unguarded. And Democrats need to forget, they need to forget what makes sense to those inside the Washington, D.C. beltway. To hell with them. To hell with what the politicians think. Let's listen to the people and get back to a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a tired old phrase, but it's still true. It's still applicable. Instead of this ridiculous system of cronyism that we're allowing right now, once you get into Washington, it's your sole aim to stay there. And that's politicians on both sides of the aisle. That's their aim. I'm going to stay in Washington no matter what. And it's a rare bird that once he's elected, voluntarily just gives it up. What's that guy on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough? Now, I don't agree with a lot of what Joe Scarborough said, but, he decided just to walk away from Washington. And I thought, that's all right. That's a good thing. He went there under that contract with America, and he said he was going to uphold the term limit thing that most of them didn't, and he did. And I admire him for that. I admire any politician that does that. So, forget about the Beltway people. Who cares? And no one knows how to run a country better than we, the people out here. And the Democrats would do well to remind the people of that and stop catering to these special interests and to the Washington Democratic politicians who are mostly interested in nothing more than keeping themselves in office rather than doing what's the right thing for the people. Now, I don't know about you, but I am tired of hearing the likes of Joe Lieberman and Joe Biden and the others telling us how we need to be acting as Democrats. It is we that know what this country needs in the way of a political party, not those boys. Absolutely not. And it's up to us to remind them of that in the strongest of terms. And that's been my message for a long time now. We need to take it upon ourselves to let our Democratic politicians know that we're not happy with them. If you are, that's all well and good. I am not. I am not happy with the state of affairs of the Democratic Party right now. And some things the other side says about how Democrats don't do anything, complain, and they whine, and they don't stand for anything. I can understand where they're coming from on that, because I see it. I see a lot of this stuff. Rather than come up with a solution, they're just throwing stones and saying, we're not George Bush. That is not good enough. So, what is wrong with the Democrats? And to take a look at the whole situation today. You've got these Bush tax cuts who didn't create jobs or this lasting economic recovery that they said it would. What they did produce was an absolute Niagara Falls of red ink that threatens to drown the American economy. We've got foreign countries controlling this red ink. Look at the money we're doling out to China now in a trade deficit. We're stuck in a war that's just unwinnable, right in the middle of the Islamic world's biggest hornet's nest over there. We've got 4 years have passed after 9/11. The FEMA agency can't even deal with a weather emergency, let alone one created by terrorists. Imagine what that would be like. And we've got, again, 50 million people who can't get affordable health care. You know, we've got, what's his name, Tom DeLay, indicted for conspiracy and money laundering. You've got Bill Frist. Now they're subpoenaing his phone records. You know, that's the Republican record right now. And you might think the Democrats would be taking on the Republicans right now, point by point by point. You might think that they would have by now said, enough, this has gone too far. Those people are crazy. Their policies are crazy, and the results prove it. It's got to stop. For the good of the country, it's all got to stop right now. You would think the Democrats would roll out their own solutions, and some solutions that would reverse the damage that's been done in the last 5 years. You would think so. But that is not what the Democrats are doing, not even close. Instead, they keep playing this defensive chess, you know, avoiding the bold moves. I said I would tell you what's wrong with the Democrats, so let's look at it one issue at a time. You've got the taxes. The Bush tax cuts have been an unmitigated fiscal disaster. Any freshman economic student could figure that one out. You know, rather than using the tax cuts to put more money in the paychecks of the working Americans, the people who spend it faster, so what do? They give it to the rich, the people that put it away and not spend it. Now, you know, that left American workers with wages that are falling, while the rich people got enormous raises. Ask Dick Cheney how his Halliburton stock did for him in the last few months. It's up 3,200%. Yeah. His profits off of that. It's a kind of thing, you know, these falling wages and so forth. The old-time Democrats that I mentioned earlier, they'd roll up their sleeves and get going on this, but not today. You know, the Democrats hardly respond to that. And the Democrats still refuse to launch a full frontal assault on the Bush tax cuts to the rich. And the gap between the have-a-lots and the have-nots, it widens every single day. And the Democrats, who used to be the proud defenders of the little guy, they haven't pushed for a repeal of even just the tax cuts given the very richest. Not really. Instead, they apparently believe it's better to let the nation be, you know, physically drowned in red ink than to risk being politically dead. It's all about politics. And in short, they are cowards. And on the war, ditto. The Democrats find themselves absolutely stupefied by the Republican name-calling. You know, and you remember when it started, about how the Republicans were saying, oh, they're soft on defense. You know, they said we were sissies and cowards and all that, un-American, anti-American. That's why so many Democrats voted to give Bush their vote, to let him go to war. They didn't want to be accused. They thought they might lose their office. And now it's become painfully clear to anyone with a newspaper subscription or a TV that occupies Iraq was a monumental blunder. You know, Democrats still dance around the issue. They dance around it. Instead of fighting for getting out of there, they keep their hands in their pockets. Why? Because a lot of them know they've got blood on their hands, too. They do. Go ahead. Just try and get the Democrats to fight and see how far you get. Ask them to accept the blame, like I said earlier, and then fight to redeem themselves by doing what's right. Go ask Hillary Clinton. Go ask Hillary Clinton right now, the next time you get a chance to ask Hillary Clinton. I don't know how many of you get that chance. But wouldn't you love to see somebody stand Hillary and Joe Biden and a few of them up there say, should we withdraw from the war in Iraq? And the answer you're going to get is going to be laughable. Well, I don't know. la-di-da, hum-di-dum-di-dum. You're not going to get an answer. And the Democrats are at a loss for words or any kind of a plan of action on that war, all except for a few. You know, here's the right answer to that question to my Democratic friends. Stand up, be a man or be a woman, and say the war was a mistake. I'm sorry I voted Bush the authority to get us into this mess. Will you have the guts to do that? I'm sorry I voted George Bush the authority to get us into this war. I was wrong. My God, wouldn't I respect a politician that would have the cojones to stand up and say that? You know, we should tell the Iraqis that, you know, give them a deadline. They got to get their act together by a certain date, and we're going to start pulling troops out every month. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And, of course, the neocons are going to start screaming, well, we're cutting and running. And this just proves that Democrats are weak on defense. That's fear not, Democrats. You don't have to suffer under that that mantle they're trying to put on you. The U.S. military is stretched to the breaking point. Enlistments have plummeted. The reservists' civilian lives have been terribly disrupted, and they're not realistic. And the state National Guard units have been devastated. They can't even respond to a domestic emergency. So it's not the Democrats who have caused the problem in defense. It is the Republicans right now. And we need to have our Democratic men and women launch a war on the Bush war. Because they were yellow bellies when they could have prevented it to begin with the midterm elections coming up in 06, that yellow stripe. You know, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they refuse to leave their foxholes. The only strategic skill that they've really perfected is the art of running away and retreat, and I don't respect that. And I know there's some of you sitting out there this evening going, man, why is he talking about the Democrats like that? I thought he said it was a Democrat. I am. I happen to think some of these people I'm talking about are not. They're not the kind of Democrats they ought to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of watching the modern-day robber barons pillage America and Americans while the Democrats cower over in the corner. I want war, and I want it now. You know, the enemy, and that's the Bush administration, he's weak. He's vulnerable right now. I want the Democrats to grab this opportunity and start shouting and shooting in this political war we've got right now. No more pussyfooting around the war or the growing gap between the people in America who have it all and those who day by passing day have less and less and less. It's either time for Democrats to back up, you know, stand up for the little guy, or stop masquerading as Democrats. It's that simple. If you're a real Democrat, act like one. I don't know. I'd like to know what you think about it, some of my dear Democratic friends and even my Republican friends. I have a few. Let's go to the phone. Let's talk to John in Fort Myers. Hello, John.
Well, good evening. Well, you're exactly right. You know, it's like a bunch of people on a boat that's sinking, and everybody's saying, no, we're not sinking. The water's just getting higher.
I
wish that the Democrats would, or somebody would take a stand here, but the intimidation is overwhelming from these syndicated programs to just put you down if you speak out against what's going on here. We're involved in a war we should have never been involved in. I don't give a damn what kind of government any other country on this face of this planet has. I don't care what Iraq has for a government. They were getting along just fine till we got there. I heard a guy the other day saying that they were talking about economics, and they said, well, there's China, a poor nation, which it's with its vaults bulging with money, and here we are, the richest nation, the United States of America. We're borrowing from them. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the guy with the money usually was the rich guy. And the guy that was borrowing was usually the poor guy.
Yep, that's how it used to work.
Now, when did things go topsy-turvy on me? I just don't understand it. And I'm to the point where I just hate to see it, but this country is heading for a collapse. It should come sooner or later. So we can just say, look at these damn Republicans and destroy that party. And then the Democrats, of course, are standing by either hoping the same thing and letting it happen, but somebody ought to be speaking out against this.
Well, they're going to cut their share out of it first. And you know one thing that you said, John, when you started speaking here, is you said we're the richest nation on earth. I think that's only temporary.
Well, I don't understand how you can be rich when you're borrowing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people that drive big fancy cars and live in big fancy houses, and they borrow to the hilt, and if their job ends tomorrow, it's all gone. Now, is that what's going to happen to this country when China says, hey, guys, we want our money back? We're going to come in and we're going to take this building and that building, and because the federal government's borrowing all this money, I'm assuming they're putting federal properties up for it. So, you know, we're slowly being devoured, and nobody is disgusted about this except me and a few callers that call your program that can see what's going on. What's the matter with these Republicans? Are they blind?
Well, no, they're greedy. that's what it is. It's pure unadulterated greed. They're going to grab what they can, and hey, life isn't that long for these people.
So I'll get what I can while I can and
sure.
Enjoy it, and when it falls apart, well, you know, it's been going on so long, I'm sure that the people in government will find a way to continue that house of cards going on. But eventually, folks, it's got to come down. And your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to be paying for the sins of mainly the Republicans, because they've turned this into a game where it's your team or my team. And I want to be on the winning team, so I'm going to be a Republican. Well, the United States of America is not a football. This is not a game. We need to keep this country strong, and you do it by doing things like making neighborhood schools so you don't have to use a lot of fuel and a lot of school buses and a lot of resources, and that's just one area. Building your cities so you can use mass transit. Look at all the mistakes that this country has made over the last 50 years because we're so arrogant and we can afford all these things. We can live and have our own cars and don't worry about mass transit. We'll build more roads. Well, they're full now, and we're not going to get any more built any faster, and when they're done, they're going to be full, too. So we've had a total mismanagement by the politicians, and the Republicans, I would have to say, have done the major part of this, and as you say, the Democrats have sat by and let them do it without any opposition. One person that really gets me is John McCain. Now, there's a man who is a Republican who I respect for because he spent 5 years in a prison camp fighting for this country in another useless nonsense war. And this man sees what's going on, and he tries to play ball with his fellow Republicans, and they're telling him, well, you know, you play ball, and they're going to give him a little bit somewhere along the way. But here's one man that just ought to put his foot down and say, my Republican Party is a bunch of lint heads. And he won't do it.
No, he won't do it. He is going to play ball. Hey, John, thanks for your call. Yeah, you know, the nation answered the call when you stop and think about it. December 7th, 1941, we were attacked. And we were worried about the Axis powers. We were worried about Nazi Germany. And there's been a time when we were worried about the Soviet Union. And all these people that we saw as enemies, we were worried about them conquering our country. And we went to war, and we fought, and we defeated them, and we got up in arms about it, and Americans united against our common enemy. We united like we've never been united since. And yet here we have a foe that's trying to take over this nation, that will take over this nation economically, financially, and it will happen unless we do something about it. And what are we doing? Nothing but a whimper. Nothing but a whimper, and this nation is as threatened today financially, economically, by the debt that we have and the trade deficit we have, just as sure as we were threatened by the Nazis and the Japanese during the Second World War. Doesn't matter in what fashion the country falls, we've got to defend her, and we're not doing anything to defend her right now on the world stage economically. We're getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt, and it's not good for America. And somebody has to wake up and smell the flowers here and do something about it. Somebody has to. And I don't care if it's a Republican. I don't care if it's a Democrat. Somebody's got to be a man or be a woman and stand up and do what's right for America and start putting this ship back on the right path again, getting all the sails up and you know, looking good like we used to. This country's only, what, 229 years old? We deserve better. We do deserve better. And we can be better. And we can defend her better than we're defending her right now. And it's got nothing to do with this war on terror of George W. Bush. This has got to do with defending her against this terrible debt. Something's got to be done about it. And I hope somebody stands up and does something about it soon. Hey, I do want to remind you, you are listening to The Guy James Show on the Truth in Broadcasting Network, and we'll be back after the top of the hour.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Hey, I did want to take a moment to thank some of our contributors to the program. And I've been remiss in doing this sometimes. Sometimes I don't think about it, and sometimes I do. I'm always thinking about our contributors to the program.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show.
Yeah, and we'd like to thank Ed and Janice Stowell, Laurel Pastor, Iris Abel, Ed Bernard, Flo Beckler, Dale Danford, Ed Ryan, Peter Nishin, Joe McGuire, Margaret Rizzle, Dick Nojay, Hilda Perry, Mary Kate Ferreira, Shannon Danford, Carolyn Ostergitz, George King, I know I've murdered a couple of these names, Chris Kern, John Patterson, Spence and Rusty Nunley, Pete Burkert, Jason and Gina Alcazar, John Coolidge, Lois Mard, Jim Alexander, Robert and Rosemary Rowe, the Democratic Club of Cape Coral, and Patricia Croker, and Leon and Ressa Benin. And I've got some more names to go here, too, but I want to take a moment and thank my good friends over to the Democratic Club of Cape Coral. I went over there and spoke on Thursday evening. And had a lively group there, had a good time with those folks. I am an honorary member of the Cape Coral Democratic Club, and I was proud to go over there and speak to them. And we had a good old time, had a few words with them and so forth. And it's always a pleasure to get out in the grassroots and meet with my Democratic friends. It's an honor and a pleasure. I love going out to the Democratic clubs. And we've got one coming up with the Lee County Democratic Women's Club coming up whatever the Saturday is. I think it's an 8th or 10th of October, something like that. And we look forward to that as well. Susan Westine Novit, Susan O'Donnell, Stephen Chan, Anton Rochek, Kevin Riggs, Ann Kofel, and Sarah Hagen. We thank all of you. And we've got another list we'll get to as soon as we can. But I want to thank all of you folks.
To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Everything the right is afraid, you'll find out. You're on The Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 201. If your creative consultant tells you that generalities like fair and knowledgeable staff or throw the phone number in at the end are good ideas, they may be working on outdated material. You have 60 seconds to sell your product. Make solid use of your on-air real estate. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
And welcome. Glad to have you back with us this evening. Another hour to go in the Guy James Show right up until 9 o'clock. Coming to you from the Truth and Broadcasting Network, TIB as we like to call it, and we're awfully glad to have all of you along with it. We appreciate your listenership, we really do, and all the kind comments and email and so forth, the correspondence we get every week. Eric, I want to thank you for the pictures you sent. I enjoyed that very, very much. See who else. Well, I want to thank all of you for your donations and so forth, and again, your kind words. I do hear from many of our listeners every week, and I'm sorry that I don't have a chance to get back to every one of you all the time. www.theguyjamesshow.com, and we'd love to hear from you. You know, I heard from I don't know, they're flashing me notes here, and I don't know why. I don't know why. They think I can just pick up a word and run with it, and I don't know what in the world they're talking about. So.
These are cue cards.
Yeah, well.
We try to flash you cue cards.
Okay, but when a word just comes out of the blue, I'm supposed to pick it up and run with it, and I don't have any idea what it's all about. So I saw the word Norway on there. Yes, I heard from our friend in Norway again, the gentleman that objected to me talking about the United States being the greatest nation on earth and taking me to task over it, and he sent me a nice reply back for my reply, and I appreciate it. I love hearing from the people in the other countries and South Korea and Australia and all that we hear from all the time. Let's go back to the phone and let's talk to John in Cape Coral. Hello, John.
You know, Guy, I've been thinking here. I've been listening, and the problem with listening to your show is that you listen and everything you say every week. I think I agree with about 99 9/10 of what you say, and 99 9/10 of most of your callers, except for the few who call in on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, we get some once in a while.
But other than that, I think we're all in agreement. The problem is, I think what we haven't figured out, and I think you have hit in the last hour, and you sort of hit a raw nerve with me. And the question is, where do we go with it? What do we do about it? I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm sitting here totally frustrated saying, you know, the last caller you had, John from Fort Myers, was right on target about the economics. You've been right on target in terms of the judicial nomination, in terms of Bush and his ineptness, in terms of the people around him. And yet, where do we go with it? And you're right in the fact that the Democratic Party has not shown any leadership or given us any direction.
No,
and we have nobody to look to.
No.
And yet we advertise the radio show and say Democrat and proud of it. Yes, I'm a registered Democrat, but I don't know how proud of it I am because I don't know where that party is today.
Well, there's certainly MIA, I will say that. They have been for quite a while now, and I'm hoping we can gather some forces and go to war with the Republicans, but...
All right, can I make a suggestion? I may be out of line, but I was wondering if I could throw something on the table.
Sure.
And at least I just want to throw an idea out, because I think there are a lot of your callers who call up, whether it's John from Fort Myers, whether it's Dr. Juan, and you have a bunch of people who call up. We've got a cadre right here locally in Fort Myers, some within the Democratic Party, but certainly among your callers. And my suggestion is, and I know talk shows have done this before, is that we get us all together, maybe in a restaurant on one day, and maybe we start throwing some ideas and begin to get a platform, see if it makes sense, and see if people across the country begin to buy into it.
Oh, wouldn't we have to keep the location secret, John?
No, I think we'll make it as public as we can.
You don't think they'll load up a few cars with baseball bats and shotguns and come after us?
Well, I think if they do that, then this country is totally down the tubes.
I think they'd want to.
But if we can't organize politically, if we can't get ourselves together, at least to say this is what we believe, then we're in deeper trouble than we ever thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost come to that when people in this area where we live here talk to each other, Democrats talk to each other in whispers.
Well, I'm not going to whisper. And people know me, and they know I haven't whispered. I lead an educational group here in the county. I protested the local school board because I think that mistreating substitute teachers down here, they want to take care of the, you know, it's a typical Republican way. They take care of the leadership, reward them financially, and the people in the trenches, they want to lower the standards to pay people $62 a day, which is lower than minimum wage. Or just about minimum wage. And, you know, the attitude is we don't have to take care of the working people. And I think there are a lot of us who feel, just as Downtown John said, the economics is hitting us, is going to hit us all, you know, all between the eyes. And if nothing else is hitting us, you know, you have to be able to feed yourself. You have to have enough money. It can't all go to the rich, and it's going to hit John's Q public.
Well, John, you've heard me say in this program before that, and I hope you've heard me say it, I'm one of these rare birds that, or maybe weirdos, that I believe school teachers should be paid more than doctors. And I mean that. I'm deadly serious about that, because I think they're more important than doctors. Here we have a situation where we live right now, and I know it's that way in several places around the country, where the median house in this area now is around $255,000. How can a teacher, how can a school teacher come here and buy a house? How can he do it?
Well, and, you know, if I can put a local issue on the table, Guy, the local school board and superintendent, and I'm sure this is true elsewhere in the country for your national listeners, is saying, well, they can't afford it. Maybe the school board needs to build dormitories for teachers. And I can't tell you how many teachers, full-time teachers, have said to me, gee, if they can afford to put up dormitories, why can't they afford to pay us a sufficient salary?
Yeah.
I had a couple members of the school board saying to me, well, you can't object to giving the superintendent a 12% raise. He's making over $150,000 plus all sorts of extras, and then complain when substitutes only get four. You can't link the two. We don't want to give the substitutes any more money. And then they want to lower the standards to say we'll take a high school graduate, somebody without any education at all, and pay them $62 a day. We don't even care about educating our kids or paying the people who teach our kids. And up and down the line, our priorities are totally wrong. And I just say we need to get a group of us together. And I think maybe one of the things is get some thoughts on paper and maybe use your show and say, hey, these are our thoughts. What do people across the country say to that? Do we have a platform? Can we get people to coalesce around it? Can we begin to get some leaders out of this to say this is where we want to move our country? Because nobody seems to say this is what we need to do to save the United States of America. We know what's wrong. And people turn around and say to us, Guy, what do we want to do? What do we offer that's any better? And, you know, it's a good criticism, I think. How do we want to plan? What is it that we want to do? Yes, we talk about bring the troops back. How do we want to bring the troops back? What do we want to do to strengthen this country? What do we want to do with the economics? What do we want to do with the environment? all the different issues we talk about. How do we want people on our Supreme Court? How do we want to balance the religious against the people who do not feel that there should be religion coming from government? We have to deal with these issues, and we haven't dealt with it, I think.
John, send me an email. Let's see if we can work up something like that. That sounds like fun.
Okay, and maybe you and I can get together sometime.
Yeah.
But I think my suggestion is, I think you have a wonderful show, a wonderful vehicle. Let's show some leadership, and that's my suggestion.
Thanks a lot, John.
Take care.
Bye now. Oh, I spend a lot of time pondering these things. I do. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I ought to watch more TV or something, more sitcoms. I don't know. But I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. I try and learn and figure out ways to make America better, things that need to be done, and ways to stimulate the people that are there to get the things done. And I spent some time this week pondering the current situation in our country. And it seems to me that the one word is quite appropriate. It seems to me that we're paralyzed as a nation. It really does seem to me that we're paralyzed. A whole nation, absolutely paralyzed because of the actions of one man and a few of his cronies. Is that how it should be? Really, is that how it should be? The terrible decisions of one man and a few insiders deciding the fate of 290 million other people. Is this still a democracy?
I might be wrong, the wrong person, but I've been kind of chewing on this for the whole night. I remember back when Hillary Clinton was running for senator.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing about it. It was on Fox News, so it's probably wrong, at least by, you know, your estimation. And I don't know necessarily their credentials or not or whatever, but I've never argued that point with people. However, I remember that she did a one of those town hall type meetings at a college.
Yeah.
And later on it came out that a couple of the students, not all, but a couple of the students had been given cards with specific questions. And it was open to the press. I remember they made a big hoopla that it was open to the press. It was a big thing and whatnot. But aside from the fact that he is the president and he shouldn't have to do this, which I believe and agree with 100%, I think that was very, I don't think it's the right form for the president. But in politics, it seems to me that there are a lot of people who do prepping. Now, I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything like that, but for the most part, it just seems like, you know, everyone preps.
None of them should do it. I won't defend any Democrat that does that. I think it's wrong. I think if you don't have the intellectual capacity to sit and talk to people, your constituency, hell, you're supposed to be one of the leaders. You're supposed to be as smart or maybe a little smarter than most of them. That's why they picked you. You've got some credentials that, you know, you want to stand on. You should be able to stand. I mean, look at Bill Clinton. I mean, regardless of what you think about Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton could stand and talk to you knowledgeably about just about any subject you wanted to talk about, because the man is a well-rounded individual. He has gotten himself schooled himself into a position where he can talk intelligently on just about everything. And shouldn't all of our leaders be that way? If they can't be as what's the word I'm looking for? If they can't be as accomplished a speaker as Clinton, at least be as accomplished with their mind. Being able to talk straight sense. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker, but you need to be able to stand up and make sense that the people, you know, so they can understand it. And that's my problem about George Bush. You know, it seems to me that America's lost its ability to be a democracy under the day George W. Bush was appointed president by the Supreme Court. And I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. He was appointed president of the United States. There are five people on that court that decided who the president of the United States was going to be instead of the voters. Is that a democratic government?
Well, now, what about, now, I may be wrong, but I read that a couple of newspapers in Miami actually finished the tally and found that, in fact, George Bush had won by 400 votes, and it was recounted three times.
Depends which one of these things you read. It depends which one they read. There have been one study after another that claims that he lost it. There, you know, it was a travesty. It should never have been allowed to stand in. I've never been more disappointed in America than I was during that whole debacle when America, at least half of us who were Democrats, didn't stand up in absolute outrage and protest that thing. And we didn't. But, you know, there we had five people deciding who the president of the United States was going to be. And not a whole lot of it was made at the time. Everybody seemed to say, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And, of course, the courts ruled, and we have to live by the ruling. Did we? Did we have to live by that misguided Supreme Court decision? Did we really? Did we have to walk away from that whole scenario with nothing but a whimper? I don't think so. I think we should have raised holy hell, but we didn't. And so because of that ridiculous court decision, 290 million people became the subjects of George W. Bush, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Don Rumsfeld, Scooter Libby, Tom DeLay, Bill Frist, Denny Hastert, and a few others. And make no mistake about it, those people do look at you as their subject. This handful of people decided to grab the power and run with it, and they did, and look where we're at today. Why? Because we let them get away with it. They hijacked it. Our nation is more unsafe than it ever was before, is vulnerable to any kind of a terrorist attack that the terrorists want to inflict on us. Any kind. You know, we're vulnerable to being terrorized by even a hoax like the one last week. You know, just the mention of a terrorist on the loose and America goes crazy with fear. We're mired in a war that no one seems to know how to get out of. And it seems that some people in Washington don't want to get out of it. If it means leaving control of Iraqi oil reserves to the Iraqis. And if it means cutting the money off to Halliburton and Bechtel and KBR and all these fine folks. You know, nearly 2,000 of our finest people, our young people, killed, and we've accomplished nothing of benefit to the United States of America. Nothing that has benefited the United States. We are not one bit better off in this country today than when that war started. And back home, we've got an economy that's absolutely stagnant. You got money in the stock market. How well are you doing right now? Oh, yeah, the rich are doing okay. $3 a gallon gasoline doesn't bother them a bit. You know, when we need to fill that Hummer up and it costs $100, so what? And so the price of home heating oil and natural gas is out of the sight for the coming winter months. Who cares? Oh, there's only going to be a couple hundred die or freeze to death because of it. Wages are being cut. So what? You know, it's okay, though, because some people are not suffering. And I mentioned earlier, take Dick Cheney. Here's a man who claimed to have no financial interest in Halliburton. And as it turns out, he still draws a paycheck from him. And incidentally, very incidentally, according to him, his stocks in the company had a 3,200% increase in recent months. Not bad, huh? For a guy that had no interest in it at all. And of course, Bill Frist didn't know if he owned any stock at HCA either. You know, we've got rampant corruption at the highest level of government, and a significant number of people seem to think that it's okay. Tom DeLay corrupt? Leave poor Tom alone. He hasn't done anything. Bill Frist, taking advantage of insider trading knowledge to cash in on some stocks he said he didn't know anything about because he was in a blind trust. Who cares? It's his business, and it wasn't that big a deal anyway. Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, giving up the identity of a covert CIA agent to keep her husband's story about their lies and deceits from being believed. Business as usual in Washington. They all do it. That's what they say. And we're paralyzed because we are not the United States of America anymore. We are not the United States anymore. We are divided, not united. And this division has been caused by those who are supposed to lead us. Those who are supposed to bring us together and unite us in a common goal for the common good. And oh, I know the right-wingers hate to hear those words. A common goal for the common good. They don't believe in the common good. They do not believe in the common good. Instead, their only concern is for the rich getting a bigger piece of the pie. The common good means nothing to these people. To hell with everyone but the rich and powerful. I actually heard Neil Bortz on the radio this past week when he was talking about how the rich got in New York got tipped off about the terrorist threat. Now it turns out to be a fake. But how the rich found out about it before even the mayor found out about it. And Bortz was defending that. He was defending that. So of course they let the rich people know first. That's the people they should let know first. Why would you tell the poor people first? It's the rich people that make all the jobs. It's the rich people that have all the money. If people should be warned, it should be the rich people. Not the people sitting home and don't have a job. They don't need to know. That was the case he was making. Yes, really, that was the case he was making. So, as a nation, we are paralyzed. And our nation, which was much greater, it was a much greater before this gang of political thugs stole the power, is suffering. And it's suffering because of the greed and the thirst for power of a few who couldn't care less about the masses of ordinary, common Americans. The general welfare of this country and her people don't mean a damn thing to this current crop of iron-fisted rulers. Never did, never will. And God help all of us if even some of these people are returned to power. I'm heartened when I see that people like Rick Santorum are way behind in this race for the Senate. Casey's got a nice lead on him in the polls over in Pennsylvania. Oh, God, let it be so that a maniac like Rick Santorum could get voted out of office. Let it be so that people like Tom DeLay and Bill Frist and even Denny Hastert, a man who I used to have some respect for, let it be so that these people get voted out of office. It's a terrible direction this country's taken, and I'm not very proud of it at all. Not very proud of it at all. Yeah, Johnny.
On the internet, Pushkin89 wanted to bring up the fact that some of the and I have a I do kind of take umbrage with this comment, but I'll still report it because that's my job. Report it said that thousands of blacks during the election were on the felons list. Wrongly, I'm assuming. So that's why that would have more than covered, had they been able to vote, the 400 to 500. However, if I remember correctly, one of the issues that I saw at the time was that they weren't able to bring any first-hand experience. Most everybody who they brought on TV about that, who said they were disenfranchised, people who were intimidated by the police, they assumed things, but were not directly told anything.
Well, let me tell you what I think you're referring to. In the 2000 election, there were a good many people in Florida who were disenfranchised of their voting rights because they were written as felons on the voting list, and they didn't get to vote. And it turned out that that's true. A lot of them didn't get to vote that were listed as felons that should have been allowed to vote. So mistakes happen. And the NAACP filed a special... tried to get an injunction so that for the 2000 and I want to get this right, the midterms last year, that these people could get their voting rights back because they inadvertently been taken away. Jeb Bush filed a, I'm trying to think what kind of a motion it is, an emergency motion that said that the state of Florida, a hardship, that's what it was, a hardship motion he filed because the state of Florida didn't have time to attend to all that before the election. And so many folks who didn't get their vote in 2000 didn't get to vote again in the next election because Jeb Bush got away with this with the feds, with saying that it was a hardship on the state to get the voting rights back for these people. It just didn't have time to get them all. So they went through not one, but two elections that... that people didn't get to vote on. So it makes you wonder sometimes. It really does. It makes me wonder. I think there's shenanigans. And where did that word come from, shenanigans? Obviously Irish. Yeah. But there were shenanigans that have gone on many times in elections in this country. We've all heard about the Chicago Richard Daley machine and all that. But here it was right out in the open and in your face in many cases. And we had that riot by the... Republican staffers that were sent down here at the polls over the county voting office, the registrar's office in Miami, to put a stop to that. That was a disgusting scene. It really was. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some things our good friends. You know, we couldn't go a whole week without letting you know some lies that took place on TV that we like to point out. So we're going to do that when we come back. So stay tuned. You are listening to The Guy James Show on the TIB Network, and we'll be back after a few words.
This is The Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good, but it's bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family, have an evil empire just like his dear old dad, get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy, finish up my war and cover up his lies, be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to DeChaney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Karl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. He'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Just the two.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Democrats of the world, if you missed last week's show, hang on. You're in for the ride of a lifetime. Here's the best of the Guy James Show.
You know, I ran across a interesting chart this week, a very interesting survey. The Fox Network, for example, is doing their level best to try and downplay these terrible poll reports that are coming out for our lame duck president, the lamest of lame duck presidents we've ever had in my lifetime. Here he's got, over 3 years to go, and he's done. He's cooked. He's finished. The right-wingers and the Fox News and all will tell you that his poll numbers are going down amongst Democrats. Well, au contraire. Not quite the way it is. Of course, his poll numbers could not go any lower with Democrats, but they could go lower with independents and Republicans. And I'd just like to tell you about a couple of them here. In some red states, that's what I wanted to talk about, the red state poll numbers. We know they're down in the blue. That's fine. But in the red state, here's Colorado, a red state. 56% of the people in Colorado disapprove of George W. Bush, the job he's doing as president. In Florida, a red state, 58% of the people polled disapprove of George W. Bush. Other red states here, well, we got some more. New Mexico, a red state, 56% of the people think he's doing a lousy job. In Nevada...
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Oh, hey, I like that. I like that. That's good. That's a good piece of music right there. Hey, you're listening to The Guy James Show on the TIB Network, Truth in Broadcasting. Glad to have you along with us on this lazy, hazy Saturday evening here. And we got about a half hour left. You can give us a call on the program, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Johnny, if you can get those cuts ready. We want to, which one's first? You know, some of these people are nuts. They're just plain nuts. Who was it? I'm trying to look at my own notes here and trying to figure out who this was. The Christian Broadcasting Network. I love these guys. There's this Reverend Lou Sheldon. He's the chairman and founder of the conservative church lobby group called Traditional Values Coalition. This guy is a wacko, whacked out, crazy man. But A lot of people don't think so, and they listen to him and as though he is he's an authority. And so Sheldon's on this show, and to give you an idea of some of the things we talk about on this program about these people being whacked out, just absolutely crazy, I think this is one of the more insane statements I've heard in a long time. And let me just give you a heads up on this. Now, how many of you saw the movie The Exorcist? Just about everybody saw that movie, right? Well, keep that in mind as you listen to this first cut here. You got it, Johnny?
For people who know and understand these things, that two of the most difficult sins or bondage to break out of are alcoholism and homosexuality.
Oh, definitely, because a groove is built. And I've talked to many psychotherapists who are Christian, and they say once you enter into that lifestyle, now you may have gender identity conflict. That's the medical scientific name for homosexuality, where you're attracted to the same sex person. But once you enter into the culture, into the music, into the gay bars, into the gay literature, into the gay theater, and all of that kind of, and gay travel, once you immerse yourself into that, you have really put yourself into a groove that only a sort of an exorcism can release you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And there's people that listen to this guy and take him seriously, this Reverend Sheldon. Only a sort of an exorcism can release you from being gay. Man, oh man, oh man. That people would listen to a guy like that just really lights my fuse. I tell you, it really does. And then, again, we've got another little cut here for you. The other night, Valerie Plame, that story again, one of the most condescending people in Washington, D.C. A lot of you remember Victoria Tensing, who was on Joe DiGenova's wife, the dynamic lawyer duo of Washington, D.C. Victoria Tensing was on with Chris Matthews, and Chris was talking about this Karl Rove deal outing Valerie Plame. And it seems that Vicky, as she's known in Washington, took umbrage with what Chris said. And let's play that cut, Johnny.
Let me ask you both about the motivation of prosecutors, all right? If you're up against whatever case it is, as complicated as this is, this leak case, and it has to do with the war and the argument for the war, and somebody challenged that argument,
don't
what does it have
that.
To do with?
It doesn't. It has to do with whether somebody violated the criminal law and gave a name of an undercover agent as defined by the law, and whether that person knew that.
And what would be the
undercover
motive for doing that?
Look, go back in time and just think about this a little bit. When Bob Novak wrote his column, it could just as easily been framed as he, Bob Novak, was exposing nepotism. But it didn't happen that way because the press didn't like President Bush and framed it all for poor Joe Wilson. If a wife gets a husband an assignment and he doesn't have any experience in WMD and he doesn't have any kind of senior experience
right.
in the country, Novak thought he was exposing nepotism.
Oh, yeah, Vicky. Oh, yeah. Now, all the officials at the CIA have said that is absolutely, positively not true. Absolutely not true that Valerie Plame got Joe Wilson that job, that he was qualified to go there. He did have the credentials to go there. And instead, we have Vicky Tensing on the Chris Matthews show on Hardball saying, well, maybe Novak just thought he was exposing nepotism. Sure. Sure, Victoria. Oh, sure.
The internet crowd would like to know, when's the exorcism of Ken Melman?
yeah, you're not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Ken Melman, and how about David Dreyer? Do you want to throw him in on that one too? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. Hey, let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hello, Bill. Whoops. Let's try that one. Hi, Bill. Whoops, we lost Bill. Call us back, Bill. All of a sudden, my phone line went empty there. Bill, give us a call back. Hope you do. It just seems to me that when they send these people out like Victoria Tensing and Joe DiGenova, exercise who? Who else? Ken Melman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. I am amazed by the number of Republicans who will fight to the death not to give gay people the rights that they ought to have, and yet they stay in the closet themselves and don't admit it to the people that they are gay. I think you talk about being two-faced, that's about as low as you can go. It really is. It shows me you got no character whatsoever. None. None. Even if you're 100% against gay people, if you're one of those people that's 100% against gay people, and if you think it's a sin and all that stuff, what do you think about the likes of Ken Melman and David Dreyer? Huh? What do you think about that? You don't think they're being two-faced hypocrites? I do. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I think maybe that was my fault.
Just for the record, Valerie Plame did not have the authority to send her husband, so that's a fact that can be checked. So
certainly
every time
not.
The right wing gives her credit for sending him over there, it simply does, just on the truth of the matter, it's not true.
I agree. That's absolutely true.
And you were bringing up the 2000 election, and one thing that made me know that the whole thing was wrong was right in the directive that made the Supreme Court pick our president was that this action could never be used as a precedent. It could never be, in other words, if the Democrats ever got into a same situation, they couldn't use it. So that tells you that was phony from the beginning.
Sure, sure.
Now, let me ask you a medical question. What is more revolting, watching Sean Hannity interview Newt Gingrich with softballs or watching our president try to put sentences together into a paragraph?
Oh, I tell you.
Better let one handle that one.
Yeah. That deal on Thursday was just absolutely painful. It really was. Now I know some of my listeners are going to have a hard time believing this, but at one point I actually started to feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, here he is up here doing something that terrifies him. It absolutely terrifies him because he knows we know.
Oh.
He's got to know we, doesn't he?
And his earphone falls out, and it's just the whole thing was just it was really pathetic.
He had all the poise and polish of a third grader standing up there.
And then I've heard the right wing talking points all week about how we shouldn't criminalize politics. You know, that's just
right.
The nature of politics. You have a different opinion.
Oh, now they say that.
Let's all forget about trying to run Bill Clinton out of office anywhere they could. And another right-wing point is that Bill Clinton and Janet Reno would not let the CIA talk to the FBI. And that was a law that goes all the way back to Republican Richard Nixon. When Nixon got in trouble with the FBI, he had the CIA call off the dogs. And at that time, it was made into the law that they couldn't communicate. It's not the law now after 9/11. But if you want to blame somebody, blame the Republicans for that one.
Sure. It goes all the way back there. You're absolutely right.
Did you have a chance to hear Charlie Rose last night?
No, I didn't. Tell me about that.
Well,
I heard a little uproar about that.
And the man Colder was a topic, and he was interviewing George Clooney, the movie star director. And Ann Colder had made a snide comment about George Clooney not being a manly man. And George Clooney, to paraphrase it, he says, "I don't really like Ann Colder, but I would never question her masculinity."
Very good, George. Very good. That's a beauty.
And then on John from Cape Coral was saying how this administration doesn't care about the working people. You know, you think about FDR trying to get us out of the Depression, and they were actually making up jobs to give people just to give them a paycheck, to give them their pride back. And now we've had this disaster in New Orleans, and the Davis-Bacon Act guarantees $9 an hour for the people to go out there, and you know how bad that water smells and how hot it is and everything else. Oh, no, the Bush administration withdraws Davis-Bacon, so it pushes it down to the minimum wage, and that just shows you where the priorities are.
And you see now they're busing people in for those jobs?
Yeah.
Bringing them in by the bus.
On the 25th anniversary of C-SPAN, Randy Rose was on there. She was great. She was going against a right-wing Christian lady who I can't remember
her name. Janet Parshall.
Yeah. And Randy Rose says, why is $9 an hour too much? And the lady says, well, I'm not sure he did that, which, you know, she was lying because she was no idiot. And Randy Rose says, how can you call yourself a woman of faith when you know you just lied about that?
Well, Randy's capable of putting most people to putting it to him. She is.
She's a great debater.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Guy.
Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you. Yeah, Johnny.
Some board ops, as in radio, and if you're in radio or know anyone in radio, you know what that means. People who sit around pushing buttons on the board for these nationally syndicated shows, they start at $9 an hour in some stations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we got people down there in New Orleans shoveling mud for $5, or $5.50. Was it $5.15? Yeah, I think it is $5.15 an hour. You know, when this Valerie Plame thing it does end, and man, I hope she and her husband do get their pound of flesh out of this. I certainly hope so. Nothing would make me happier than to see Valerie Plame and Ambassador Wilson bring down this bucket of slime, whether it's Libby, Karl Rove, or Dick Cheney, whichever one or all of them that's involved. Nothing would please me more. Nothing would please me more. I admit it. You know, people say, oh, it must make you happy. Yes, it does. The prospect of that makes me absolutely giddy. And I told my wife the other day, or maybe I didn't tell her, I told somebody, you know, I've been watching my diet for the last 7 or 8 months, and I've lost a lot of weight and been toned up, and I'm ready to rumble now. And I've been watching what I'm eating, and I've laid off all my favorite foods most of the time. I said, if Karl Rove gets indicted, I'm going to eat pizza and drink beer. I am. I'm going to do it. If Karl Rove gets indicted, I'm going to eat a whole pizza, well, as much as I can anyway, and drink as much beer as I possibly can. I haven't had either one of those. I haven't had a beer in, oh, geez, 8-9 years, I suppose. Anyway, well, I'm getting personal there. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. And you stay tuned. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the TIB Network.
This is Anthony Hopkins with an important message about...
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Karl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. No siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. Well, you'll get to see it. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
Of the world. If you missed last week's show, hang on. You're in for the ride of a lifetime. Here's the best of the Guy James Show.
You know, I ran across a interesting chart this week, a very interesting survey. The Fox Network, for example, is doing their level best to try and downplay these terrible poll reports that are coming out for our lame duck president, the lamest of lame duck presidents we've ever had in my lifetime. Here he's got, 3 years, over 3 years to go, and he's done. done. He's cooked. He's finished. And the right-wingers and the Fox News and all will tell you that his poll numbers are going down amongst Democrats. Well, au contraire. Not quite the way it is. Of course, his poll numbers could not go any lower with Democrats, but they could go lower with independents and Republicans. And I'd just like to tell you about a couple of them here. And some red states. That's what I wanted to talk about, the red state poll numbers. We know they're down in the blue. That's fine. But in the red state, here's Colorado, a red state. 56% of the people in Colorado disapprove of George W. Bush, the job he's doing as president. In Florida, a red state, 58% of the people polled disapprove of George W. Bush. Other red states here, well, we got some more. New Mexico, a red state, 56% of the people think he's doing a lousy job. In Nevada, 56% of the people disapprove of the George Bush administration. In Missouri, 59% of the people disapprove of the job George W. Bush is doing as president. What do you think about that? These aren't blue states. This isn't California and New York I'm talking about. This isn't Illinois. Oh, no. These are red states where his popularity is absolutely tanked. And why that is. Plenty of good reason.
Tell your friends. The best of the Guy James Show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the best of the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
And we're back. Oh, yeah, we're back. Going to have to talk to some people around the station here. Had something I didn't like much happened during that little break there. I guess we'll have to point it out to some folks. I had a friend of mine send me something, a cyber friend. Never met this person except over the internet, and we've chatted back and forth quite a bit. Wanted to let me know, first of all, here's some facts that are going to come out when Fitzgerald ends his investigation. Number one, Valerie Plame was still a non-official cover officer in July 2003 when her identity was revealed by Bob Novak. Number two, Valerie Plame had traveled overseas on secret missions using that cover as required under the statute in question. Number three, Valerie Plame's exposure also almost compromised the identity of another non-official cover officer. And number four, Valerie Plame did not have the authority to send her husband on the Niger mission and, in fact, did not make the decision. Says, during my 4 years of sitting at a desk at the CIA, I was undercover. My position with the CIA was not even known by my own parents. Only my wife was privy to that secret. Many of the undercover folks still working at the CIA are at headquarters on a temporary basis. Some travel overseas on temporary assignments that last less than a month. Others await a semi-permanent posting for a 2 or 3 year stint overseas. All this crap about these right-wingers on the talk shows of your Laura Ingraham and your Andaman Coulters and your Hannitys and your Limbaugh, all these people saying, well, she wasn't undercover, everybody. Well, that's simply not true. It's simply not true. There's something right from the horse's mouth that she was undercover, and she was at the time Robert Novak outed her. The question is now, the question becomes, did Novak know that? Well, Novak obviously is not in any jeopardy here. The question is, did Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and whoever else in the White House, did they know that she was undercover? If they did know, that's the crux of the matter here. If they knowingly let her name out, knowing that she was CIA undercover, they are guilty of a felony, a federal felony. If they didn't know, I don't know what. Then they're going to claim they didn't know. But wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall in the grand jury room yesterday? First, I'd like to know what Miller had to say. I don't trust her at all. I will predict that she is not with the New York Times very much longer. I see she signed a big book deal, as you might expect, well over $1 million. She won't be at the New York Times very much longer if the New York Times wants to save their reputation. Here is a woman who was literally a press prostitute for the Bush administration, printing any amount of garbage that they wanted her to be a mouthpiece for when leading up to the war in Iraq. They would simply tell her, oh, the WMDs are here, and they're that, and they're this and that, and she was in there gung-ho over this WMD thing and mouthing every word that the administration gave her. So I don't have any sympathy for her. Her 85 days in jail, I don't care. But there's a possibility that she might be indicted, from what I understand. She still might be indicted under this. And it's going to be fascinating to see where this ends up. I can't wait to find out the disposition of this whole thing. I'm dying to know how it's going to end up. I really am. How about you? You got time for maybe one or two calls yet. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. But you know, the whole question of this comes up was, what did Karl Rove know? And when did he know it? When did the classified State Department memo identifying Valerie Plame as a CIA operative come into Rove's possession? And who gave it to him? Was Rove on the president's that president's trip to Africa that Colin Powell talked about, him passing that memo around? That what was his name? The press secretary, the Artie Fleischer, said that he was reading it, and this person read it. Colin Powell said lots of people read it. So was Karl Rove on that trip? Colin Powell actually admitted circulating a classified State Department memo which identified Plame aboard Air Force One. Colin Powell said that. So how can they say they didn't know? Interesting. And then as far as Karl Rove, who did he tell, and when did he tell him? Did Rove? And this is the part I would really like to know. Did Rove tell the president or the vice president that Valerie Plame was Joe Wilson's wife and that she worked at the CIA or that she was responsible for Wilson's trip to Niger? Did he talk to any reporters, including Cooper and Novak, about Valerie Plame after viewing that memo? These are the things that Fitzgerald is trying to find out. Remember this. Bush testified in front of the grand jury for over an hour. Fitzgerald actually interviewed Bush in front of a grand jury for over an hour. He's trying to find out whether these White House officials deliberately leaked Plame's identity. And I'm beginning to think that this guy is trustworthy. And if he doesn't come down with any indictments, I don't know. You know, I think it'll be honest of him. I really do. I don't think that he has any sinister motives. None at all. But we know that Rove told Cooper that it was Wilson's wife who worked on the WMDs for the CIA. We know that. Cooper has testified to that. That Rove told him that it was Wilson's wife who worked on the WMDs. We know Cooper's email shows Rove speaking to reporters 3 days before Plame's name became public. So, you know, there's so much to come out here yet, and I'm dying to know how it's going to turn out. I really am. But then he went in and allegedly told a different story to the special prosecutor, and that's why he had to go back again for another term. Four times in front of a grand jury. I don't know about you, but I have talked to several lawyers, and a couple of fairly prominent ones that you would know, about this case, and neither of them said that they've ever heard of anybody testifying in front of the same grand jury for four times, and that's a very ominous sign for Karl Rove. He even initially claimed he didn't know who Valerie Plame was. He said that in front of the grand jury. And then we have the Scott McClellan, who is turning out to be a master of deceit. He said Rove told him that he was not involved in leaking Plame's name. So much to come out this week, a whole lot to come out this week, and I just hope it all comes out. That's what I'm rooting for. I just want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to come out. And I don't know. Why do I believe that it's not going to necessarily? I don't know. I just hope. I hope that Fitzgerald has been smarter than these people, and it seems to me that he is a pretty smart guy. But I hope he's been smart enough to outsmart them in their lies and their deceit and all that. So next week, maybe we'll have an answer for you when we come back next week. Maybe old Karl Grove will be frog marched out of the White House in cuffs, and we'll celebrate if that happens. We will have pizza and beer. Yeah, right after the show. I would like to say a special good night to Jeff and Andy, as we always do. Remember them on our program. So happy to have known both of them, and many of you knew both of them as well. You're listening to The Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.